from the Morongo Casino Studios, it's Frosty, Heidi, and Frank on 95.5 KLOS and KLOS HD1.
Frosty, Heidi, and Frank of the Night Shift. News for Heidi.
Ooh, just for me?
Yes.
Okay.
Not that you're a hypochondriac or anything.
Why would you say that? Do you think there's something wrong with my brain or something?
I'm just saying. Oh, I know you're not.
What are you wearing? A corset? What the hell is that thing?
Yeah, a corset.
What is that?
I'm stomach. I'm waist training.
Well, what is that thing?
It's a heating pad.
A heating pad over your midriff. Why?
She got cramps real hard.
I got the cramps.
No, I'm freezing. So I brought in a little. I was going to bring in a whole electric blanket, but then I was like, well, I'll look ridiculous.
You look ridiculous. I thought it was a corset. It's a heating pad?
Yeah. What are you, Rose in the Titanic?
Yeah.
She's got controls down there. It's plugged in.
Sure.
So you're holding it to your. Are you warming the fetus?
I might be pregnant.
Well.
It's yours.
She's trying to melt her constipation. As long as something, brightens your day.
God, if I were cold and I had a heating pad that was full of, an electric blanket coils, I think I'd put it elsewhere. I wouldn't hold it down by my belly button on my stomach.
They say if you warm your feet, your whole body's warm. Or if you have if you put it around your head.
Okay.
Or if you warm your hands.
I'll put it around my head.
Yeah,
then.
Put it on your head.
She's like a pilgrim Jamestown Swedish woman.
Oh.
No, she's like Alien, the creature in Alien. Go. I'll get you, Sigourney.
She's almost the flying nun.
Except that one didn't get off the ground.
Do you feel warmer? You have it on your head now.
See?
Yeah, but it felt good.
It looks like if Heidi was a mailbox.
Right.
That's what you'd look like. Go to the mailbox for Halloween. Stay warm the whole time.
Put it in my slot and raise the flag.
Stick your flag up and we'll see what happens. Well, try your shoulders. See, that's probably better than on your belly stomach.
That's uncomfortable.
That thing's so damn tiny. What's that even for? That's for cramps.
Because then I can put my hands under it and I keep warm.
All right.
I'm sorry, you're misusing it.
Let's get back to your story, Frosty. I had to bring it up.
There's probably instructions
instructions for a heating pad.
It doesn't say put it on your abdomen.
It must not be working because look at Heidi's chesticles. There's some couple thermostats popping.
You're freezing here.
You have a heating pad on.
Maybe I'll wear it up here around.
There we go. Oh, she's moved it north of her thorax.
I have a strapless evening gown on. Go ahead.
It's like being at Boston Market when they're warming the breasts.
Careful, Heidi. You're going to curdle that milk.
You want to see my two sides?
All right. Let us know what it turns into.
Well, one sounds like macaroni and cheese. Oh, God. I got to finish this beer.
Okay, the only reason I mentioned this for Heidi Hamilton, who's misusing a heating pad, is because I saw this news story and reminded me of you. You've been bitten by a spider or a bug, and it swells up, and you go, oh, my God, am I going to get the spider infection?
I have, and I told you earlier in the week, not spider, but I have a bee sting that I'm still dealing with.
Down there in the Nether Region Valley.
Yes.
Is it still swollen?
Last night, I had to get up 1 in the morning, but... because it was itching so badly and had an aching. I did. I put hydrocortisone cream on before I go to bed.
You need some white root and ball tonic.
I might have to try that. I'm desperate at this point.
Put that on there.
I had to wake up in the middle of the night and put an ice pack there because I was so miserable. It's just not going.
Is it swollen? Does it look ridiculous? Like a baboon's ass?
Yeah, one side.
I got
Lisa Rinna vagina.
Just show it to me.
All right.
But you got Lisa
Rinna. Oh, my God.
Oh, what?
See?
Right
there. Look.
Oh.
Right? That's weird, right?
Just like Lisa Rinna only had one lip done. Cover that with your heating pad quick.
I think needs ice. It doesn't need heat.
So, Heidi, I told
you
when I saw this.
I'm going to regret showing you guys that. I just know it.
A man apparently was bitten by a white-tailed spider. You ever heard of them?
No.
I know they had tails.
Is it bad? Better?
You don't want to get bitten by one of those things. He had a sting, which turned into a big old welt, which turned into a really severe pain.
Yeah.
Eventually, they had to amputate both of his legs. It is still in his system, and he's in the hospital because they're going to amputate his two arms.
They can't.
From a spider bite.
You know what?
Oh, my God.
I would have 8 prosthetics. Just to say, you spider.
KLOS traffic. Now, back to Heidi and Frank.
Commercial free for the next 40 minutes.
on 95.5 KLOS.
Question for all of you. 1-800-955-5567 is the number. Have you ever called 911 and then realized that you made a mistake?
No.
Because like all these people, you were told by the police, no, that's just a wood carving out there in the woods on Merle's property.
Oh, never mind then. Sorry.
Yeah. Maybe you thought your neighbor was dying, but it was just loud sex. And you called 911. Oh, how embarrassing. maybe you thought the neighbor's pool guy was trying to break in.
Well,
cops show up and the guy's got his, he's out there skimming the leaves off the pool. Like, that's just the pool guy. And you're like, I'm sorry.
Actually, if you're a guy who does break in, that would be a good disguise. Have a big old net over your shoulder, some chemicals in your hand, and
just throw all the loot inside your net.
There you go. I'm just the pool guy.
No one would suspect that.
I have my neighbor who I've mentioned is a giant a-hole. And about 5 years ago, I had my two guys who do all my, like, figuring out speakers in my house for the TV and stuff that I don't know how to do. Like,
yeah, two ladies living together.
Well,
can't figure that
so
out.
They're my two guys. I think, Frank, you know them, and Rich and Cosby.
And, oh, yeah.
My neighbor, they happen to be two black gentlemen. And my neighbor, because he saw them going in my gate.
Are you saying he's racist?
Well, he got the cops called on because Rich and Cosby are in the house working. All of a sudden, they see sirens out the front window, and they're like installing speakers in my house, and they have to come outside and get confronted by police and say, "What? Or do you live at this property?" And they're like, "No, we're just working at this property." Then I get called on the phone. "Hi, this is. Are you the owner of this property?" "Yes." "Are these men allowed to be on your property?" "Yes." Yeah. Everything is.
Black guy had a ladder, taking it with his hands on a TV.
Yeah.
"No, I'm installing it."
Right. I promise. I'm putting it on the wall. So, yeah, they got caught. But when I talked to them,
like a story.
Yeah, they're like that. He's like, I go, "Oh my God, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry." He goes, "We've dealt with that so many times, it's not even a problem."
Well, sad.
I'm like, wow, that is really pathetic.
But you could say the cops doing their job, regardless of what the pigmentation of the skin, flesh color is.
Not the cops. The cops were called, so doing their job is just showing up. Doesn't matter who was there, but it's like, I think the neighbor's doing the job. I mean, you say he's an a-hole, but hey, neighborhood watch program. Yeah. You didn't tell your neighbor that you were having a couple of black guys come over and install some TVs.
I didn't think I knew. Hey, just,
who does?
I'm just saying, right, if you were going to say, "I'm going to be out." So, you know, like your neighbor, he's Mr. Nosy.
Oh,
and you can't move in your house without him knowing what's going on. So you'd probably have to tell him, because he seems like the type to call the cops. You'd say, "Listen, got some people coming over. They're going to be in the house. So don't worry. They're not robbing."
They're supposed to be there.
Especially since you've had so much action on your cul-de-sac.
Yeah, you're right. They do have my Mrs. Kravitz next door. He's a 75-year-old retired guy. He came over yesterday, by the way, to tell me it was raining yesterday, right?
Uh-huh.
And there was water in the gutter draining out. There's a hole, like a hole next to my house.
That'll happen.
He says, "Is your pool overflowing? There's water coming out of that drain." I said, "Yes, it's raining, Gordon." He goes, "Well, I thought maybe the pool fill was stuck on because a lot of water's been doing that all day."
Hey, Gordon, that's God's
Gordon,
pool overflowing.
It's
okay.
Raining.
It's your overflow in the pool.
Yes.
So when your pool's full,
flows out into the gutter and goes down the
right
hill.
Right to the rim, yeah, as well.
Mm-hmm. You want to make sure my pool jet wasn't on it.
Everything's fine.
Gordon, it's raining, for God's sakes. Is there nothing else to look at? Well, there's water in the gutter. It's been there all day.
He's a single guy too, right?
He dates a lot. He's like he's a 75-year-old bachelor out in the. He's a really, really.
He's got great hair for a 70-year-old guy, right? Still, I remember Gordon's
white
hair.
Yeah, it's white,
but it's like that flow. Like he's got it flowing backwards. It's got a full head of hair, right?
He's got a lot of hair. He tries,
like
he's
Chris Christopherson, something like that,
or like Michael Douglas, I'd say.
Oh,
no,
all right.
Michael Douglas.
But
Michael
Gordon's Douglas fisherman.
Hair.
He also has a kind of a nice head.
I can't see the Gordon fisherman when he has that yellow hat on all the time.
And this is Gordon, not Gorton. Wrong. Fisherman Gorton. This is Gordon
it's
with a D.
Gorton,
right,
with a T for
right,
the fish.
Right.
I should know that. Yeah, have you ever called 911 and then realized that you made a mistake? 1-800-955-5567 is the number. I got some prizes for your mistaken emergency calls. We got Rod on the phone. Hey, Rod.
Hi, guys.
Hi, Rod. So you made a mistake and called 911. What happened?
Yeah, you know, I called 911 because I heard somebody yelling, "Help, he's killing me. I had new neighbors move in, so they were screaming their head off, so I called 911, and the lady, she was hearing everything. She goes, "Oh, I'm going to send somebody down there right now." About 20 cop cars show up.
Oh.
They go next door, and it's still yelling. So they're, you know, they're on their bullhorn. Come out, your hands have come out. Your hands. Finally, they went in there. It was a parrot.
Wow. Yeah, you're killing me.
But still, that parrot knows stuff. He's only saying that because he's heard it.
Yeah, the parrot is the witness.
To this day, the parrot still yells.
Maybe just repeating that mattress commercial, he just leaves the Larry part off.
What's he yelling out?
Yes, Rod, stupid!
All right, Rod, let me give you a prize.
Awesome, thank you.
That'll be great. Dan, hook you up there, Rod. Taking your calls for 911 calls that never should have been made.
You know what?
You made a mistake.
With home theaters, sound systems as good as they are, nice. I bet there's a lot of murder scenes in movies that
there's
your next door neighbor hears. Yeah. Screams and murders, and, you know, they sound real next door, probably. Just watching TV with the big speakers on.
Yeah, the strangest thing I heard coming from my new neighbor's house the other day, it was a drum corps. It was in their yard. I mean, I can't really see them because there's a hedge, and I haven't really met them. But there was I heard a applause. They're putting on a show in the backyard, but it was just a drum corps.
Sure, it wasn't a movie, maybe Drumline or something.
No, because it was loud. I was like, what in the hell's going on? Because I could hear it inside the house, and I go outside, and it's, like in the marching band, just the drum guys,
Just the drum guys.
You know, you got the guy with the three. I mean, I didn't see any of them. I pictured it in my head just by the way it sounded. It was like, okay, now it's the time for the drum solo during the halftime show.
Okay.
And all of them out there beating their drums. I mean, in a residential neighborhood, that's like, okay, I can see maybe inviting somebody who ever played a little acoustic guitar behind a fire. But my guy, a drum corps?
Well, they got to practice somewhere. If it's a high school, maybe.
But they were performing.
Oh.
It's like after they get done with this, they're going to be like. Yeah. Went to some kid in the garage who's learning how to play drums, and I'm like, I moved in next door, and he's got his own little garage band. It was this.
Followed by applause.
And it's like, yeah, this time I, three people.
Wow, that is so weird.
I was so
weird.
Curious, I wanted to go over, but I didn't.
You get that, I just get a distant trombone for some kid the next time.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he's terrible. Someone learning the trombone, yeah. Look, we know it can go, it does more than that, please. Just once, play a song.
Do you only hear it every time you get out of the shower? It's one of your neighbors. It's like,
he needs more body.
Every time you pass a certain window, you hear it. He's like, he's watching you at this point.
It's just statements about me.
That kid's going to get hired for a sitcom one day, though, I tell you.
That's great. I think I'm going to get one of those. Just look at my neighbor's house and wait for him to walk around.
It's just the neighbor's commentary. It's all it is. Never mind. Continue on, then.
That's funny. Heard any strange noises from your neighborhood, Heidi?
No, not really. I mean, everybody's pretty quiet, which kind of sucks because then I'm the one that...
That means you're the loud one?
Makes the noise, right. Yeah, with the five dogs. So I'm hyper aware. If they're like, woo, I'm like, shh, knock it off, because no one has dogs immediately around me.
Is it ever just one dog barking? Or
No.
Do they all drum court? One barks, they all start going
crazy. You have multiple dogs, because one will hear something that nobody else does, and now we're all going. And I'm like, knock it off. No, you go,
So that's probably more annoying to the neighbors than the single yip, is you going, hey, shut up, no, knock it off.
Which to them just sounds like me barking. Right. So now they think I'm joining in on the barking. I'm like, oh, my God. Frosty, with 911, I can't remember if you should have called and didn't call.
You
smelled gasoline, like a gas leak, and you were like, that's probably.
Oh, and they never showed up. Yeah, they never showed up. That was several years ago. I called 2-3 times.
You called the gas company.
Yeah.
Did you call them, or did you call the 911?
This was my house. This was in front of a convenience store, which had a nameless. It was the old radio station back in Koreatown.
Right.
And I stopped at a particular place to get my morning cup of coffee. And as soon as I opened my car door, I get this big whiff of natural gas, like a busted gas line. In the store, I could even smell it in the store. I get a good smeller, good nose.
Because if somebody would throw a cigarette down in that situation, everything's going to light up.
No. So the guy behind the counter,
like the movie
outside.
He didn't do anything. So I called the cops and they said, and so I went back and they said, they're asking me, they thought I was like a gas inspector because it's just a regular schmuck. They just kind of blew me off. I called back a third time and said, wait, I just called you and told you this gas leak. It's about to explode here at the corner of Wilshire, and it's about to go up in flames. You got to send someone out.
Yeah, you got to be dramatic.
Yeah. No.
No, here's why. Here's why.
Yeah, they weren't coming out otherwise. There's a busted gas line
right
there.
Did it blow up?
I don't know how to get to work.
Well, there you go. Nothing ever happened. Well, didn't make the news. So it didn't need to be dramatic to get them to come out to nothing. That's probably why they're always like, no, it's fine.
This is a busted gas main. I guarantee people died later. I just didn't watch the news later.
I mean, we hear the calls to 911 for people who got their order wrong at a fast food place. I mean, obviously, we know not to do that. But I would do the same thing if I smelled gas. I'd be like, 911, if that feels like an emergency.
Yeah, it's my
to
civic
me.
Duty.
Right.
I called 911 when some hooligans were, they'd stolen a car and they're making circles out in the cul-de-sac. They knocked everyone's trash cans over and ran into the corner of my garage. There's, to this day, there's broken wood, but they ran into my garage. So I called the cops and they, we'll send someone. They never showed up.
That's why I said, when I got my house broken into and when I'm on the phone with 911 and I'm looking around, there's broken glass, there's water everywhere, the drawers are all open, and you're just like out of your mind, like, did we have an earthquake? What is happening? And I said, I just got home from work, and somebody broke into my house. Ma'am, is the perpetrator still in the home? And I'm like, I don't know. I should have said yes, because 6 hours later, somebody came to my house.
But no, but they weren't in the home.
They weren't, but I didn't know that.
How
I
was downstairs.
Why would you say yes? I mean,
to get them out there.
The thing is, in both your stories, it turned out okay with them out, with them not showing up.
That's because we were lucky, Frank. But we could. She could have
been
murdered.
But you're still panicking, and you know the outcome. Nothing happened. Why are you still panicking?
Well, because if you go back to that moment, I'm like, oh my god, somebody broke into my house, and that was the one that turned out somebody pooped in my closet. But I didn't know if that perpetrator was still upstairs when she's on the phone, and so I say, I don't know.
You should say yes, probably. I think so.
I'm scared.
I think.
I just went. I don't know. I just got home from work, but somebody's broken into my house.
The cops
Six
should side with the
later.
Worst case scenario.
This Did you FaceTime them? Because they probably figured you were safe.
That's the mistake I made. FaceTiming 911, never a good idea.
Well, check out the property, sir, and we'll see if we can get out there.
When you discovered the feces smeared in your closet,
yeah,
did they come out then?
Oh, they said they would. They said, bag it up.
We're going to bag it up.
We can use it, a DNA test, and we can compare it to what we've got. And I had that for a week and a half in a Ziploc baggie.
Oh, yummy. And they never showed up.
In a trash bag. No. No, eventually.
You still have it?
No, freezer? Threw it away.
Even if they did show up, were they going to take the bag? Were they going to stop this gas leak? Were they going to take pictures around your pool for the calendar next year?
I see you.
Still hurts.
I see you made People Magazine.
Still, I don't know how my house made People freaking Magazine.
Frank, if that photo, which was in People, on your property with them standing in your rubble looking at the fire, if that wins the Pulitzer, do you get a piece of it?
I don't know.
Because that may be the Pulitzer Prize photo on Frank's rubble, the fireman.
It's, when it's showing up like as the picture to represent what has happened, that's how you win.
Well, it's here for Frank, who made People Magazine
How you made people once is a skank. No, wait, that was Cosmo. All right, so look at that. Yeah. There's never positive news about us. She's a skank, and my house burned
down. He's homeless. Your turn next, Frosty. You're going to make a magazine. Hopefully it's good news.
Did you get a copy of that People and Frame on the wall? I would have.
No, I haven't reached out for it. But yes, one of our listeners had... sent me a message maybe on Facebook Messenger, Instagram, and said, is this your house in People Magazine? And just took a picture of the magazine page, and there was other stuff on the page. But yeah, there's that little photo that Sammy framed for me for Christmas during Secret Satan, that same one with the three firemen standing there looking out at the smoke bellowing.
You had quite a view. It's what Frank had an amazing view.
I know. My rubble has become a tourist attraction.
Right.
Yeah.
You're like, wow, look at the view this guy had.
Maybe you could charge $5 a head to, like, you could rebuild just based on tourists.
Star maps!
Come see where the fireman
Star
stood.
Star maps!
It's the Bell Canyon Lookout. I'll just build a large balcony, large patio.
People can hike from the bottom up to the top.
You can put a coin in the operated binoculars.
What I don't get, Frank, is the fireman's standing there on your charred remains of your house. There's nothing left. They look at the hills below. The hillsides are completely charred. Nothing left but smoke. And there's one palm tree standing right next to it.
Yeah, that's my palm.
The tree didn't burn.
That's my palm tree.
Look at that.
Yep. That adds to the picture, though. It's probably going to win the Pulitzer.
It's very scenic. Yeah, right. Leave
it's
the
very
tree
obviously in. That's California.
Yeah. Look at the palm tree. Mm-hmm. How nice it is to live here.
That will be the iconic picture of the fire for years. It'll be your house. That's the shot right there.
Yeah, my sister called me yesterday and said she was talking about on her morning show in Indiana. She's like, yeah, my brother doing mornings out in Los Angeles. You know, so great. But then his house burns down and now they're evacuated from mudslides. So, you know, I guess trying to convince everyone in Indiana that that they're in the best place to live.
Right.
No,
like, don't move to L.A.
I know my mom texted me. She goes, 9 inches of snow and more still to come. And now she's in an apartment, so she doesn't have a garage. She's like, sure miss the garage. Your old mom has to truck through the snow to get to the car.
No.
I think it's the only time I think I'd rather have 9 inches. Well, I guess I've wished for that
it's
before.
It's when 9 inches is... Wait.
I guess I've wished for that before.
You know,
Jesus.
You know.
Every time you blow out birthday candles, like, all right, here we go.
Birthday wishes don't work.
Frank, when your sister was telling the story to the audience in Evansville, Indiana, about losing her house, the audience is thinking, oh, my God, if my house burned, I couldn't rebuild. Where would I get the $80,000?
Or I'll just roll a new one onto this same property.
Right, exactly. Did he have time to connect the trailer hitch? No, he lost it. Oh.
Have you been back there to see if anything survived, like something that is like, holy cow, like, this is still here? I know you had that metal cross your mom had given you, but anything?
No, I really haven't.
It's still too...
It's still contaminated, right? There's still, God knows what, asbestos and
stuff.
Yeah,
now it's wet, so you can't even go
just
through.
Just wet ash.
Oh.
You got to go through, wait till the sun shines, dries it all out, and then go looking.
Nah, I don't know if I'm going to. It's just, that's depressing. I mean, go through.
Yeah, I understand.
Dig through mole people looking for something. Look at this.
Just let the bulldozer get it, the whatever.
I'd rather forget what I had than trying to find what I miss.
That is profound.
Damn. Bow, 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 bow.
Wow, look at that.
That's a blues song.
1-800-955-5567 is the number. Katrina called 911 and made a mistake. Shouldn't have called. Hello, Katina.
Hi, good morning.
So you called 911 on purpose and found out you shouldn't have.
Yeah. Okay, let me set the scene for you. I live in a very rural area, so every house is like an acre and a half apart. So we have like, it's horse properties pretty much. So about 9:30 to 10, I'm hearing gunshots. And I'm like, okay, 1, 2, 3. And you know, we're just a bunch of crazy white people up here. So I figured, okay, somebody got drunk. They're just, you know, shooting up guns, whatever. No, there was like 35 shots. I was like, oh my God, somebody's killing each other.
Right.
And I was like, oh wow. So I was like, okay. So I call 911 and I'm like, hey, I have multiple gunshots here. They're like, oh, well, where are you? I said, I'm in my home, you know, locked in my house. Well, where's it coming from? And I said, well, it's coming from the southwest of me. And I said, it's down the street off one of the dirt roads because I lived on a paved road.
That's great.
I don't have sidewalks, though.
Isn't that interesting?
Then what happened?
So what happened was all these cops started racing up and down my street. And then the fire department. And then the ambulances. And then it just stopped. And I'm like, what the hell? Where'd they go? Well, then I get in my truck and I go up the street.
The dirt road or the paved road? Never mind. Go ahead.
Silos, Lord, that are silver?
Uh-huh. Yeah,
and they're like half of them, and you can put like old cars in them?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, one of the man that owns it, bless his heart, was out there with a nail gun, and the nail gun sounds like a .22 bullet.
Jesus, nail.
And that's
a nail
what
gun.
I was hearing.
He was nailing a silo.
Oh. He was nailing the silo together. He was nailing the front portion of the silo, so that's why there were so many.
Oh, Katina, you're so crazy.
And I was bored by the story. It all comes full circle.
I'm so sorry. Don't be bored, but I felt like a jackass. I was like, oh, my God.
All right, let me give you a prize. I'm going to send you up to...
Oh, thank you.
There you go.
I thought when Katina called, she'd say she called the cops because someone stole the R from her name. Katina.
Yeah,
Katina. Or added a K and an A. I mean, you can look at it a couple of different ways.
Okay, there is that. Yeah. I'm making my brain hurt now.
We're talking to people who made the mistake of calling 911 and realized after the fact, you know, whatever reason they called, it was like, oh, my God, this is an emergency. Turns out it really wasn't. And Megan has been on hold. 1-800-955-KLOS is the number. Hello, Megan.
Hello.
So you called 911 and made a mistake. What'd you do?
I did. I was driving home one morning, and I drove past an elementary school, and there was this old man standing while the kids were at recess against the fence with his hands in his pants.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Right. My thoughts exactly. So I, of course, went to the worst-case scenario and called 911 and said, there's this creepy old man, his hands are in his pants. I'm staying here. The kids are at recess. So cop cars show up, and they start talking to him, and one of them walks over to me, and he looks kind of embarrassed for me already. And I say, what's going on? What is he doing? And they said, he pooped himself, and he was just trying to situate himself enough so he could finish his walk home.
Oh, you, Megan.
I know. I felt so bad. Like, what an embarrassing situation already. And then to have, like, three cop cars pull up and just have to tell everyone that you pooped yourself.
No, I believe you, Megan. I think you did the right thing. And I think this guy, I mean, when you are desperate for an excuse to get away from the law, all you do is say you crapped yourself, no matter what the situation. Like, if you're speeding, you're like, I crapped my pants. And they're like, okay, you know, and they usually let you go. So, I mean, he had his hands in the front of his pants or in the back of his pants?
They were just in his pants. I would never stick my hands in my pants
if I crap.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the last thing I'm going to do is, like, resituate my poopy pants.
Yeah, the moves the hand's making just to adjust the underpinnings is not anything close to
Which, by the way, why do you have to be pressed up against a fence? I would be like, okay, I got to get away from people. We're people, children, fence. You'd go to a nearby bush and be try to. I mean, I don't know why you put your hands in.
I don't. I think you did the right thing, man.
Well, this poor old guy, though, the moment the cops pull up and, what's wrong with you, sir? Well, he had to actually. Yeah,
I mean, hopefully he did actually do that.
I would check. I think if you're a police officer, I would pull his pants back like I was his mommy and just be like, well, let me look.
Probably smell.
Probably smell. Maybe he always smells like crap. Mm. Maybe he's just got a crap. Maybe he can crap on command, and when the cops show up, he's always just like. Blah, 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 blah.
He always has one ready.
Just always one ready. He's always clenching.
Like that guy that can belch on command, you know, that kind of thing. I think he did the right thing, though.
I really do too, Megan. I'm going to give you a prize for being a good citizen. Because we don't need creepy old men hanging onto the fence at elementary school. Mm.
By the way, speaking of a neighborhood watch, I remember I was house shopping years and years and years and years ago here in L.A. I was driving around with, I found some houses I wanted to see.
And you crapped your pants?
No.
Oh, so now tied in.
But I was driving. It was a rather kind of nice area in the valley. I figured it was Toluca Lake. It was Toluca Lake, actually, near Burbank. And so I was driving around the block. I couldn't find the house because some houses don't have the number you can see. You know, if
you have to look on the curb.
Yeah, painted on the curb.
Right, or there's a car in the weekend. So I'd driven around this block a couple times looking for a house. I knew it was in this area. I couldn't find the house. And there was a guy standing out in his front yard just watching me, this guy, and he's holding the phone. And when I drove past the third time, I had the window down because it's the summer. He holds three fingers up. He goes, that's three times. So
Welcome to the neighborhood.
So I thought, well, this is a safe neighborhood. But man, oh, man, I'm just looking for a house to buy here, maybe. I don't want to be his neighbor. You've given by here three times. That's three times.
Well,
thanks for counting every time I drove by your house, you old geezer.
Well, you look like a creep.
I know I'm this pasty-looking, sweaty, creepy.
So I know I look like a creep, mister, but I'm just looking to buy a home, and I was checking out the neighborhood.
I want to live right next to you.
I mean, you do get that.
But I still, Heidi, I never found the house. I wanted to see the house. I just, like, opened it. I couldn't see it.
Sorry, sir, I'm looking for a place to crap. Before I crap my pants, can I use your home? Mm. It always goes with the crapping of the pants.
It
I mean,
works.
That's the ultimate excuse.
No.
KLOS traffic.
Frosty, Heidi, and Frank, if you, in fact, go and have dinner before you go bump nasties, who pays?
Who asked out?
Is that the rule now?
If I ask you out, if I say, hey, Saturday night, and it's a great place, I think you'll love it. Let's go to dinner.
See, but
then I'll take you.
You come from a lesbian world where the women always pay because you're always dating women. So there's no
tradition
to your lifestyle.
But my brain can still go if I was out in the world and I was dating guys. If I said, hey, Frosty, Saturday night, there's this great place I discovered. You want to meet there?
I would pay because Frank is onto something here.
But
nothing against you and your
tradition.
I would take care of it because I invited you. Please, I insist. Let me take care of it.
I pay!
Okay.
Because I'm the man. Now, in a homosexual relationship, you're either both women, both men, then that's you don't have the same rules. And I don't know what those rules would be then. It doesn't matter. But in a relationship where there's the man and the woman, historically, traditionally, old-fashioned, like, the guy pays.
Yeah, this is the big setup. This is where you can offer to pay all you want, Heidi.
You won't let me?
Yeah, you're setting us up to go, no, 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 I got this. Don't worry about that, little lady.
That's why I'm
going to... Because you want us to say that. Now, if we said nothing and sat there and, you know, alligator armed the whole thing or T-Rex the bill, you're going to go, well...
He didn't even reach.
Even in the back of your mind, it's going to put a negative check mark. And you're going to tell your friends, well, how'd it go? It went well. Then when the bill came, you know, I said I'd pay, and he didn't offer to pay half. You're setting us up for failure, even though you act like, oh, you're this new age woman who's willing to pay for everything, which you're really not.
I swear to God, I am. And
then give me $20. Pay for my lunch today.
I don't have any cash on me.
See?
I'm such a girl.
How convenient.
I don't have...
You don't carry cash, but you're willing to pay all the time.
I'll throw a card down.
All right, give me your credit card.
That's the last thing in the world you should do, Heidi.
You can buy my lunch today. You're not going to be there.
Then
but
you're putting out then.
All right.
See?
I'll run it through the slot.
Declined.
Overdrawn. Whatever that means. I don't know.
Is there anything to it? Assuming this is a date, this is a dinner date before sex is a possibility and maybe an expectation with at least one of you. Is there anything to it where if you say, okay, you hadn't paid, now you owe sex? Because 3/4 of women, 78% of women say they offer to pay because then that lets them off the hook and they don't feel obligated to have to put out. Hey.
And Heidi just revealed that if you pay, you got to put out. Because she was going to pay for my lunch. She said, put out.
That's right.
Technically, there's something to that, I guess.
That's right. You eat.
You're giving the signs that.
So if I buy you dinner, Heidi, you're going to put out?
Listen, if I'm going to go out to dinner with you, I'm obviously interested in you enough that I'm going to spend time with you. Now, maybe
so unless, put
you,
out
unless
anyway.
You two, unless you totally, here's where guys screw up. If a woman's taking time out of her night to go out with you, okay, because, no, let's be honest, everybody can pay for their own damn food. I don't need to go out with you for a free meal. Ooh, oh, you're going to spend $25 on me. Well,
tell that to Sally Struthers.
But, and you can get that kid for like $3.71. But,
I don't think they're listening.
But I think... If I'm spending enough time, I'm going to take a Saturday out of my life to spend time with you. Obviously, I'm interested enough. Where guys screw up is you usually blow it on the date somehow. You could probably get laid, but somewhere along the line,
so
you
if a woman
up.
Says yes to a date, she's going to put out.
And if things are going well and you're great and you're laughing and you're having a good time, then fine. But
I
got
to get a second opinion.
Maybe
Sammy,
move too fast.
Turn on your microphone. We got to find out if this is the case. If you say yes to go out on a date, you are going to put out unless we ruin it.
Yes.
What?
But because you it's
what
you
guys the third
too,
date.
It's you move too fast.
Well, why'd you go out on the second date with us after you didn't put out the first date?
Maybe you didn't try to get me into bed. Maybe you were being a gentleman. So you were being a gentleman. I'm like, he's a really good guy.
If you were going to put out and I was a gentleman and I didn't ruin it, then how come you didn't make the first move to let me know you wanted to put out?
Maybe I didn't. I don't want to make the first move.
But you said you were going to put out anyway when you were putting on your makeup. You knew you were giving it up.
I said it's a possibility I'd give it up.
Can I get an informational question into Sammy?
Go ahead.
Sammy, don't take this wrong. Sammy, how does a guy blow it?
Pilates class.
You said you put out unless the guy blows it. So if you're ready, willing, able, and you expect to and intend to and want to, so what am I doing wrong where I've shut that door, so to speak?
They just have to be a super douche. Like, you're like, okay, he's cute and he seems kind of cool. And then you hang out with him and you're just like, oh.
He could be on his phone. Ugh. He could be sucking his teeth.
Or they just act too cool all of a sudden. It's like, yeah, oh, yeah, you already came out with me, right? So they're thinking, oh, she wants me. And then they act differently. And then you're like, oh, I don't like
you know,
you
I was
anymore.
An extra on ER once.
Oh. Yeah, you're not getting laid.
Coming up tomorrow, we'll have more tickets to see Hart and Joan Jett at the Hollywood Bowl. Right now, it's time for News of the Day. I'm Lisa May. We have our 5K band of the day. It's the Rolling Stones. Listen for them in the 9, 11, 1, 2, 3, and 5 o'clock hours. And your shot at $5,000 is coming up on Friday, tomorrow. Today, the brand new Frosty, Heidi, and Frank Mike Thompson RV is heading out to the Sea's Candy, located on La Cienega Boulevard, just south of Jefferson. It's at 3431 South La Cienega Boulevard, starting at 8 this morning. The first 10 listeners that show up will win a pair of tickets to see Rick Springfield perform with a full symphony orchestra at the Saban Theater on Saturday, March 30th. News of the day being brought to you by your Mercedes-Benz dealers of Southern California. You know, there are a lot of stories of actors turning down roles that turned out to be huge breakout roles for the actor that ended up doing it. Will Smith, for instance. Did you know he turned down the role of Neo in The Matrix? a role that ended up going to Keanu Reeves famously. Why did he turn it down? Well, here he is explaining.
The Wachowskis, they came in and it was like they had only done one movie. They did a movie, I think it was called Bound. And they came in and they made a pitch for The Matrix.
And as it turns out, they're geniuses. But there's a fine line in a pitch meeting between genius and what I experienced in the meeting.
So this is the actual pitch that they made for The Matrix.
Dude, we're thinking like imagine you're in a fight and then you like jump. Imagine if you could stop jumping in the middle of the jump.
Sam, say that again.
And then we're gonna invent these cameras. And then people can see the whole jump while you stop in the middle of the jump.
So I made Wild Wild West.
And we know how that turned out. The Hollywood Reporter supposedly confirmed that the Breaking Bad sequel will star Aaron Paul. It will focus on his character, Jesse Pinkman. They also say that Netflix has acquired the first run rights, meaning it will premiere on Netflix before ultimately airing on AMC. No word as to when it will debut. The movie will be written by the original series creator, Vince Gilligan. No update yet on whether or not it will feature Bryan Cranston. He has said he would do it if asked, but we all know that Walter White is dead, so I don't know how they do that. Valentine's Day is here, which means some people are scrambling to find the perfect gift, which could include a nice meal. And some people are going to have a unique experience this evening that includes marijuana. It's a company in San Diego. They are providing a gourmet cannabis experience. The co-creator of this company called Tasty High Chef says, I'd like them to know it can be gourmet, not just brownies and gummies. The menu will include everything from cannabis-infused drinks to burrata and dessert. If you can't make it this year, and you probably can't, the company does do private events and parties. It's called Tasty High Chef, or you could already make your reservations for next year. And say goodbye to NASA's Mars rover. It is dead. On Wednesday, NASA made it official. Opportunity lost power in a dust storm last June, and all efforts to make contact since then have failed. A NASA official said yesterday, with a sense of deep appreciation and gratitude, I declare the Opportunity mission as complete. The robot operated on Mars for more than 14 years, which is pretty amazing since it was technically only supposed to last 90 days. It took thousands of pictures and changed the way scientists think about Mars. It's 6:55. That's news of the day. I'm Lisa May. It's brought to you by your Mercedes-Benz dealers of Southern California. Why beautiful to behold, the all-new 2019 Mercedes-Benz C-Class is built to be driven. Choose from five driving modes to fit the mood you're in and the road you're on. Go to mbusa.com or visit your Mercedes-Benz dealers of Southern California to schedule your test drive today. That's news of the day. Up next, more Frosty, Heidi, and Frank on 95.5 KLOS.
Live from the Morongo Casino Studios, it's Frosty, Heidi, and Frank on 95.5 KLOS and KLOS HD1.
You break it, you buy it. Have you ever had to buy it because you or someone you were with broke it? 1-800-95-5-KLOS. Rambunctious child ruins exhibit and parents are left with the bill. Oh, yeah. Surveillance video captures this little five-year-old. And I don't know. It's in Kansas City. I don't know what this display was for. Was it a community center? But they had this sculpture over, like, against the wall. And this little five-year-old went over and they say he accidentally knocked it over. But he's seen hugging it. I don't know what he hugs it, so he does touch it.
So it's probably something that was big.
It wasn't like he tripped and bumped into the stand it was on and accidentally knocked it off. Okay, we understand. He went over, looked at it, was like, oh, starts hugging this thing.
Practically pulling it down.
Well, I mean, think it's what happened. He did pull it down.
Yeah, I mean, it's not just a pat-pat going.
He's caressing
it and pulling it towards him. And this thing is a life-size sculpture of glass, by the way. From the video, it looks like it might be. Oh, there we go. Tumbling off.
It almost lands on the kid. I mean, the sculpture is as big as the damn child.
Yeah, it's like a
bust of shoulders and head, a bust of something.
It's called Aphrodite of Kansas City.
I was going to say, he grabs her by the boobs. You see, he grabs her.
Now he's motorboating it on the halfway down. Look at that.
There we go.
Right into his face.
So the head shatters, the arms break off.
He's holding his face.
Yeah.
I wish this had audio. Man. I love little kids. who have accidents like that get hurt.
That could have squashed a kid, by the way. It could have killed.
Now, when you're looking at the surveillance video, and we'll post that at FHFShow.com. If you're a VIP, you can watch it right now by going to FHFShow.com, signing up, because we webcast every single day. You notice that his mother is nowhere near. I mean, there's three adult ladies sitting, you know, in the lobby area, but I don't know which one's his mom. But nowhere around. And he pulls his thing down, so it's like, okay, how much could it be?
This is bad parenting.
I'm sorry, let me get out my checkbook. I'll just take care of what my son did. But how much is it going to be? And they're like, well, it's going to be $130,000.
Can we do a payment plan?
What? All right. So if it was $20, I'm sure mom would have pulled out her pocketbook, like Frosty says, and we'll give her $20. Here's $20, and I guess we're taking Aphrodite home with us, all broken Aphrodite.
But this is sculpted from artist Bill Lyons. Took 2 years to finish, not insured.
So I think Frosty got some audio when they were interviewing the mom about the situation.
Yeah, what would you do if you're the parent of this kid? Frank has described the story exactly, you know, the way you don't want it to happen. You don't want your kid to go off somewhere when you're not with them and damage something. But if it does happen, wouldn't you feel responsible?
Oh, so
as a
she
parent?
Wasn't with him?
No.
Because otherwise I was going to say,
they were at this week.
No, videos. Not in video.
No, they're not in.
Well, I didn't know if she was like there, but she was with another group.
Well, no, she's there. She didn't drop him off at the exhibit. Okay. She was there in the building, but she wasn't next to him. He's 5 years old running around.
Bad parenting.
Yeah, this is a big community center. They were there for a wedding reception. It was a place where there were several wedding receptions going. It's a big, big building. So they're there somewhere, and they're getting ready to leave. So they're leaving the wedding reception. But the family is nowhere to be seen in that video. The kid runs off by himself, hugs the big glass, heavy statue, life-size on the pedestal, pulls it towards him. It falls, smashes into the ground. Okay, then we find that it's a very, very valuable statue. So what happens? It ends up on the news there in Kansas City with the parents pretty much shirking responsibility. Here you are as a parent. This is from the news story. This is what you don't want to hear when you're getting ready to leave a reception and your kid's not with you.
I hear yelling. Where is your mother?
You don't want to hear that. So mom and dad show up and then finds out, okay, there's that smashed glass sculpture. The head's all smashed to smithereens. All the limbs are broken off. It's destroyed. Okay, I guess you
got. Well, I don't think it had limbs to begin with.
Well, it had like the Aphrodite like sculptor arms. It had two arms, arm-ish things. Yes, the beginning. It was like it was from pretty much from the waist up. It was like a life size bust with arms.
All right.
The sculptor says he had arms on it, so right.
Oh, like Venus de Milo, kind of like half arms.
Shoulders. Yeah,
it had shoulders.
Right.
No elbows down.
Right. There weren't fingers, but it had arms.
If I saw someone like that, I would say they have no arms. But that's just me.
You'd say amputee. You're right.
It's like point out the person with no arms. I'd point at that guy.
Right there. Yeah.
All those old statues seem to be missing everything from the elbow down. So that's how he did the sculpture. You get everything to
If they said you had to have shoulders to get in, I'd let them in.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You got to be extra for the arm, the fingers. The fingers cost extra.
Even the sun's out. Her gun's not out. Nope. Not
so
that
this
one,
thing falls. The half
Does
arm.
Does she have a funny bone? I don't know. Did she hit it? Nope.
Is that a butt crack? Did
Never
he actually put it? It goes right to the top of the buttocks there. So that's as far down as it goes, and then up to the top of the head.
$130,000.
So the
God.
Head smashed to smithereens. The quasi half arms break off as well. Mom unfortunately finds out how much the thing was worth.
Maybe this is like $800 or something. No, it's $132,000. I'm sorry. We're finished here.
We're finished here. Meaning, okay, let's go.
Well, like I said, if it was going to be something she could pull out of her purse and pay for it, she was planning on doing that. I thought it was going to be $800, possibly, maybe. But here's $132,000. Instantly, responsibility is going, nope, sorry, I'm not going to pay for this. This must be your fault.
Yeah.
She admitted responsibility when she said, all right. Oh, that's...
And she's nowhere around. The three older, you know, people in the room were saying, she heard... Where's your mommy? Like, she wasn't even in this gigantic room. This kid's running around.
Right.
He's jogging around like it is, you know,
her
a play
fault.
Place. Like he's a Chuck E. Cheese.
So she's admitted she's not with him. So explain this.
My children are well supervised,
no,
but
not.
All people get distracted.
Not in a place where there's valuables. And like you said, your dad could take you into a china shop and with
There's nothing
confidence.
Going on in this place. In the video, surveillance video, there's nothing going on. I mean... Distracted by what? There wasn't a band playing. There wasn't a magician in the corner. There's a clown
you
juggling.
Have a 5-year-old.
There's nothing happening.
and you're nowhere in sight, good mama. Okay, now here's where she says, well, she's kind of like shirking responsibility. They're on the hook now for the $132,000 of damages.
Break it, you buy it.
Well, maybe not.
Rule.
It's in the main walkway, not a separate room, not plexiglass, not protected, not held down.
So right. It's the fault of the exhibiting hall now?
And it's not in the middle of the walkway. It's against the wall.
Right.
Yeah, the way she says it, you think it's like in the middle of everything, you could bump it walking by. No, you have to go out of your way to this far, far, far wall to find it.
And she then acts pull like, it off it's the a, like it's a giant, one of those old giant tube TVs that you use a like a TV tray as a table for the television set. Which is this flimsy thing with a heavy thing on top of it. Yes. No, that's not how it was.
She's implying it's something you'd trip over in the middle of the main walkway. This is not the main walkway. Well, here's Dad, if you want to know how this is going to end.
So the insurance company says, and if they're going to take it to lawyers, we don't know.
Sure enough, the insurance company says you, Mom and Dad, are on the hook for it.
Yes.
And
well, that's why you
are
have
involved.
Insurance to pay for it. I mean, that's why you have that.
Well, guess what kid will never do anything like that again, ever? And who will always be like, where is he? Get over here. Get over here. No, we're not going to that room. You're staying with me.
Now, don't you think, I mean, the three women who were sitting there that aren't even related to this kid, that if the mom came around the corner and grabbed the kid by the arm and started spanking his ass, anybody would care? I mean, if the surveillance video showed her whack, 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 spanking his ass after he broke a $130,000 sculpture, don't you think he needed that? That's what's missing on this video, him getting his ass spanked.
That's what's needed. Unfortunately, you can't do that in these days. And I'll bet this mom probably took the kid home and said, oh, I'm glad you weren't hurt there, little Johnny. Oh, that bad, bad exhibit hall didn't have his anchor down.
Ass. I know my ass would have got spanked.
This day and age, you want to take my kid away? Yeah, take the kid who cost me $130,000 away from me, little idiot.
On that video, you'd have seen my mom whip her shoe off.
Put him in foster care. We'll see who gets broken.
Beat my ass.
Yeah, but then you've lost your kid and you still owe $130,000. It's not really a happy ending.
So that's where we are today.
Well, for him.
Yeah.
He got spanked and he's in foster care.
That's from the old days. Now it's like, oh, sorry, kid. What a horrible place for the statue. Oh, I'm glad you're okay. Well, we're done here.
Good luck.
Oh, God.
Good luck with that kid in the future.
The old days we had better parents?
I think so, because you could discipline your kids. Well, and you also admitted when you were wrong and took
that's
responsibility.
That's right. My mom was never like, well, Heidi would never. My mom would say, does this happen? Did this happen?
Even at $130,000, they'd figure something out. Or they would have, the insurance company. But they would have taken responsibility. When, as soon as she found out the dollar, well, I guess we're done here. Must have been your fault. And you wonder why the generation that you say is so damn entitled and so damn lazy coming up is the way they are. Because you made him that way.
Yeah, the kid probably wasn't told that he was in the wrong. And by the way, the artist is overcharging a little bit. Was that really worth $132,000, the cost of a house in Kansas? Well, really?
It's
I spent 2 years of my life making it. Well, it doesn't mean it's worth 2 years' salary.
But if you commission him to make that for you, and you're like, I really want this in my house, what is this going to cost?
But the artist decides.
I don't think the argument here is who values art.
No, it's not. But I'm just saying it's probably not worth $130,000.
Now you're blaming the artist for charging so much for his work? That's a stretch.
I'm throwing that in because I think it was an overvalued.
Eric, what are you shaking your head for?
Because this isn't an art gallery, people. This is a community center. They were there for a wedding where children go. It's a community center where kids are all the time. Why do they have a $130,000 piece of art just sitting there? It makes no sense. This is not an art gallery.
Do you think maybe they didn't know how much it was worth? Like, art dealer over here, Frosty, thought it was probably worth $800, and so they set it out there, and then they looked it up?
Well,
holy crap!
First of all, the artist gets to set his own price.
That's what I mean.
So I'm very curious if it cost that before this happened.
I doubt if the artist was sitting there on the couch waiting for someone to come by
but
and look at it.
But if somebody broke it, wouldn't you go, you know what? That was $130,000.
I think when you get art like that, if it's commissioned,
that's right.
Then they're going to go, okay, it's going to sit in your lobby and it's worth this. Okay, we'll take the responsibility. Mm-hmm. Like when the stars wear the jewels to the Oscars.
Sure.
They don't buy that stuff. It's like, that's $1 million necklace, Meryl.
Frank, well, I'm guessing.
Sure don't lose it.
No, I'm guessing the community center didn't pay for that. It was the artist had it there.
Commissioned it just to be there.
Well, no, haven't you been in a restaurant and place where there's paintings on the wall and then the corner's a little tag for the artist wants you to buy the painting. Here's what it costs. The restaurant didn't pay to have the painting painted. I think I'm guessing the statue is there. If you want to buy it, contact the artist.
But if that painting gets stolen off the wall from whatever restaurant, I'm sure the restaurant's insurance would cover that because the artist is like, I put my art in your restaurant to sell.
I'm saying exactly what you just said, that they already know the value of it.
Yeah.
They didn't make it up in the back room. They looked it up. I mean, the artist, when he left it behind, whether they bought it from him or he's trying to sell it out of the community center, it's worth this.
Well,
on consignment. If I take my furniture someplace, this is what it's worth on consignment.
Know.
You sell it, you great. If the whole place burns down, I guess I get credit, right?
Well, if they knew that, then it's their own damn fault because they're keeping it on display at a place where weddings are held. Weddings. There are children
just because
at
you
every
have,
wedding
no, no.
I've been to.
Yeah, but just because you bring children to a wedding doesn't mean you just let them run wild
I
so they can go
people.
Knock over the cake or whatever and say, it's a wedding. Kids are running everywhere. Kids shouldn't be running around at a wedding.
Nope.
So, Eric, should they have lamps or tables or anything that could be knocked over? Because this is all against the far wall.
And kids
it's
are
not,
sliding on
the
dance
You shouldn't be walking over there. You shouldn't be pulling things off of pedestals.
Any place
or,
where you invite children, everything.
They weren't invited.
They were. It's
no.
a wedding. It's
no.
a community center.
The only kids that are invited to a wedding are the ring bearer and the flower girl. The
but
rest
it's a community center.
Are, you know, you're not invited. I don't think kids should be invited to anything until they're at least 12 years old.
If I'm a parent,
it's implied you got to get a babysitter and keep your kid at home.
Yeah.
If you want to have a life as an adult and
weddings?
Still continue your life with your friends and be, you know, you have to... Either get permission from the people to bring your kids, or it's assumed that they can't show up. So don't be showing up with your kids. Let them run around my house, you know, poking, you know, pulling my dog's ears,
right.
knocking over stuff, you know.
Do you know what a community center is? It's where anywhere in the community can go
yeah,
and
but a wedding?
Do stuff.
At a wedding.
Community
yeah,
center.
If someone rents it out for a wedding, it's their community center for their community that they invited. Not
well,
you. It's not open to the public. They're having a basketball game in the other room while you're getting married here.
This community center is so big, there's more than one wedding going at the same time. It's like a big, big, sprawling building, I guess.
So that's what it's for, weddings?
It was being used for, this woman said there's another wedding going on, so at least two weddings going on at the same time. This is the main entrance to the community center where you could have a kids' reading program in there. Who knows what's in there? It's a community center. You can't say no kids allowed, the community center.
On regular hours, I guess not.
But weddings.
But if I'm going to rent the place out, this is my community center. In my community, there's no children.
And until 11 o'clock tonight,
and
no children.
I will separate
and
kids from their parents,
well.
Just like Donald Trump. I don't care.
The ring bearer and the flower girl, grandma's taking them home.
You need kids outside in cages. I'll give them some
yes.
foil blankets, but they're not coming into my
there
wedding.
There we go. That's what we need.
All right?
No matter how loud they cry.
1-800-955-5567 is the number. You break it, you buy it. Have you ever been in the situation where someone with you or you yourself bumped into something, you broke it, and you had to pay for it. Let's talk to Chad. Hello, Chad.
Hey, how you doing?
So you broke it and you bought it. What was it?
I was entrusted to keep taking care of my little brother and watching the house and in the Midwest. And they went to Australia, and I had a big party. And the first thing I told everybody when they came over is don't get in my parents' bedroom. Don't, you know, stay out of the hot tub and do not touch the car in the garage. So the party escalates. The party 151, I think, was involved.
Oh.
And so the next thing I know, I walk out in the garage with my cousin and my best friend, Mark, are in my father's car. They don't even have the garage door open, and they're revving the engine. It's a high-performance Corvette. And basically, all of a sudden, we hear one of the piston rods go right through the engine wall because they didn't warm it up first.
Through a rod.
It was about 5 degrees. Blew a rod. And about $20,000 worth of damage. They had to pull the entire motor out of the car.
Usually at a high school party when someone blows a rod, that's a good night.
and 151 definitely helps.
Oh, rod, I miss him.
And by the way, having a car running in a closed space without the door open is not a good idea either,
How'd
by
they
the
die?
Way.
Yeah.
It won't probably last very long in there.
How much
so,
that cost
anyway.
You, Chad, to replace that engine?
I think it was like $20,000.
Damn it. Ooh, and you're in high school?
Yeah.
Oh.
Did your dad make you work it off, or did you actually?
I worked it off until he forgot
By
about
the way,
it,
kind of
know,
your parents' fault. They're leaving a high school boy in charge of his younger brother. Oh, we're going to Australia! I mean, that's not like a way for the weekend. That's Australia.
Especially this one. Especially this
kind of dumb.
But, I mean, he was sort of responsible, even though he is a high school kid and he wanted to have a party. He was like, he did lay down rules. No mom and dad's bedroom, don't mess with the car, and no hot tub. I mean, he was trying to be responsible in some way.
You need to lock that garage door, Chad.
All right, Chad, I'm going to give you a prize. Let me see. I'm going to give you...
Fantastic. Thank you very much.
Stay on hold. We'll hook you up with that. Nicole is next. Nicole, you broke it. You bought it. What was it?
Hi, guys.
Hi, Nicole.
So when I was in college my freshman year, one of my sweet mates was out of town, and I had friends in our dorm room, and I spilled beer all over her MacBook Pro. It was pretty bad. I tried blow drying it and then doing the rice trick, and it wasn't fixed, so I had to buy her a new
laptop.
Did
you ever try and lie and fake it and pretend it wasn't you?
No, I couldn't do that.
All right, good kid there. Take responsibility.
Yeah.
That's like $7,000 or something.
If you were the mother of this child, you said, well, you shouldn't have left it out. I mean, you knew we were drinking beer parties. You shouldn't have left it out.
Right.
Yeah.
You're a good girl, Nicole.
That's my best impression of Eric right there.
I applaud her honesty.
I don't sound like that at all.
And we just learned about booze news.
Oh,
we
just what? Learned,
no, never mind.
Nicole, got to give you a prize. How old are you?
25.
25 years old. All right, I'm going to send you out. See.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're going to have that. Stay on hold. We'll hook it up for you.
This must be a hard conversation to have later. I screwed up your laptop. I screwed up your Corvette. I mean, good luck saying that.
Awful.
Let's go to Tyler. Hello, Tyler.
My God.
Hi, Tyler. All right, you broke it. You bought it. What was it?
Well, my grandparents are really hardcore winos. And I got drunk and fell through one of their cabinets, ripped the door off, and broke about $15,000 in wine.
Ooh. Falling through the cabinet.
And that's probably not really replaceable because, you know, unique bottles of wine that were aging and, you know, maybe they got it on vacation and travels. So, really, it's priceless.
Exactly it, yep.
Oh, Tyler.
That was a heck of a fall, by the way, to go through the entire cabinet.
Did they keep you in the will?
Oh, I think so.
I don't think so.
The cabinet wasn't that strong of a cabinet. It was a...
Oh, it's their fault.
Oh, it's the cabinet's fault, right? Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah.
It should have been reinforced. Yeah.
Well, we're finished here.
The cabinet was too weak. Drunk.
They know I'm a clumsy drunk.
Yeah, so I don't drink at their house anymore.
Yeah.
I just do heroin there. Grandma, Grandpa's house. That's the next topic. Don't jump ahead. Have you ever done heroin at Grandma and Grandpa's house? That's at 8 o'clock. All right. Tyler, I'm going to give you a prize. I'm going to send you out.
Thank you so much.
Stay on hold. All right, let's see. Justin wants to talk about the sculpture that the little kid knocked over, and mom found out it cost $130,000 after it was already destroyed, and then she tries to blame the place for even having it exposed enough where a kid could get a hold of it. Hello, Justin.
Guys, hey, I'm a building inspector. That thing should have been anchored. I mean, if it's that big, it falls over. Yeah, you know, the parents probably, you know, letting their monkey run around everywhere, and that's not right either. But here's the thing. If that sculpture would have fallen and killed the kid or injured him really bad, those parents would be suing everybody else, you know? So, I mean, the fact that it's not anchored, there's holes in the story, you know? No, and who leaves a $130,000 structure?
But you ever been to a museum? You ever been to a museum or anywhere?
This is a community center.
I know it's different.
Yeah,
but
but
when you have a work of art on a pedestal, you can't anchor it down all the time. And the thing is, the etiquette is you don't pull the things off the pedestals. Yeah, you can.
But if
lots
you
of
can't,
things,
probably, he's saying there probably should be like at least a velvet rope around it.
Yeah, exactly. Where's the security? I mean, I took my kids to the Getty Museum, right? And it's funny because my kids are pointing at all the statue penises, you know, and I'm taking pictures. And, man, we had bugs all over us.
So
you know?
It's security's
fault. My kids weren't touching it, but they were just pointing at it.
I can't believe, like, Justin is like, once again, the parents, they all, the one security, it wasn't anchored down. The kid's at fault for not being supervised. The parents' fault for not supervising the kid. The kid pulled off the pedestal.
Yeah, but listen, though. Who puts a $132,000 sculpture without having any security around? I mean,
No. I understand what you're saying, Justin, but here's the thing. It's like if, I mean, how many people have maybe a bookshelf, or maybe they're still using an entertainment center at their house? Is anybody still using that kind of stuff?
Well, yeah.
Books and
not really
TV stands. Stands.
I got a bookcase at my house, yes.
Is it earthquake anchored to the wall?
That I don't know.
Well, I mean, some of them have those little straps at the very top, and then you anchor it to the wall in case there is an earthquake so the thing doesn't fall over on somebody. Mm-hmm. So say your friend comes over with their five-year-old. They start climbing up there because they want to get what's on top of it. The whole thing topples over on top of the child, but the parents aren't watching the kid.
Right.
So really, whose fault is it? Is it Heidi's fault for not anchoring it to the wall, or is it the parents' fault? When you're a parent, this is your child, this is your responsibility. I mean, I was hypersensitive to environmental situations when I had a kid, to the point where I was driving myself insane, where I had so many days. We couldn't go on a hike where I didn't picture a mountain lion just coming out of the grass and mauling my child. I mean, that's how oversensitive I was to where my kid is and dangers that could possibly exist.
That's why the parents should be looking where the kid is.
Should be, but if I'm not like that and something mauls my child or he climbs up something I wasn't paying attention to and it falls on him and hurts him, that's my fault. I am a bad parent. Doesn't matter if the person should have anchored it to the wall.
Exactly.
Doesn't matter if... I mean, the mountain lion is just being a mountain lion. I mean, it doesn't matter. It's my fault.
Yes, it is the parent's
fault. No matter
what. Because you can't anchor everything. For example, I can have my bookcases anchored, but here comes the kid, and I've got a toaster oven on the kitchen counter. I've got a blender. I've got a coffee machine. I've got a towel rack. All these things.
Are you just bragging now?
Seriously, Bed Bath & Beyond. My God.
And all these things can be pulled off the counter by a kid, bonk them on the head, and they die. You can't anchor everything down. Parents, you got to watch your kids and make sure they don't pull stuff off of
cabinets.
That's
my point.
Yeah. Yes.
So whose fault is it? It's the parents, always.
The parents, always. Yeah, so Justin there is implying, oh, well, it should have been anchored down. It should have been security guards.
That's what Eric was playing too.
No, it is the parents' fault. I agree with you that your kids shouldn't run around pulling stuff off or climbing up Heidi's bookshelf or whatever it is, but it can also be the other person's fault. It can be both. It wasn't anchored down and the kid's a little a-hole.
I hate that whole negligence on my part because I didn't have a fence around my pool, but I have a wall around my property, and some idiot jumped over my wall and ended up drowning in my pool. And then it's
not my fault.
It's my fault. And I wasn't even home. And he's trespassing.
I know. It makes no sense.
But that's the law, and I get sued.
And we have ugly fences now we don't want because when we do that.
So
watch your kids. How about that? And by the way, you can't...
Stop having them.
Done.
And apparently stop having artwork in lobbies that the kids might pull over and break. You want every lobby to be sterile with not a single thing to be moved. No paintings on the wall to be pulled off.
I mean, what's this kid's life going to be like now? Because obviously the parents didn't want that kid anyway because they weren't even watching it. And now it's going to cost him $130,000.
There goes his college education.
I mean, they're going to blame him for their current existence. As long as that kid's alive, because, we could have got a bigger house, but Billy here.
Yeah, Daddy could have gotten the boat, Billy here.
He's getting beaten now.
Let's
abused.
Follow this kid. Let's give him a reality show and follow this kid around. See how he turns out.
Yeah, he'll probably get one.
KLOS Traffic. It's Frosty, Heidi, and Frank.
Yeah.
On the Rock of Southern California. 95.5 KLOS.
What's the dumbest thing you ever did to impress somebody? I mean, it's almost, you thought it was cool, but in desperation, you were just really trying to get noticed by somebody. And so you went all out and did what? 1-800-955-5567. I bring this up because there was some guy in Connecticut, and he was arrested for robbing a bank. And he says he did it to impress Taylor Swift.
Oh, it's one of these nuts.
Well, maybe it works because he said he actually, I guess, drove by her house. And threw some of the loot over her wall. So she goes out there next morning walking her cat, and there's a bunch of cash on the front lawn.
Uh-huh.
And then now she finds out this guy robbed a bank.
And she's Taylor Swift. She's probably like, did something fall on my purse last night while I was coming in?
It's falling out of the sky for Taylor Swift.
Right.
It rains dollar bills in her yard. Did you ever do anything really stupid to try to impress somebody? 1-800-955-KLOS. Maybe you sang a song loudly in front of everyone, like in the movies. I love this woman, and all the pigeons take off. It's something stupid.
I think only in the movies does that happen.
Did you get a tattoo like Heidi did to try to impress, and it wasn't quite what she expected the reaction to be?
May not even say what it's supposed to say. It's in Italian. What do I know?
She didn't like
your
tramp
stamp? You did it to impress her.
Well, of course.
And it was a tramp stamp.
She didn't like that? I think
it's a lower back tattoo.
No, but that's great.
What we call a tramp stamp.
At the time, it was the thing going on.
Right. What I did was, and this was an early part of our dating relationship.
Mistake number one. Early part of the relationship.
Oh, I know. I could go back and not get it, I certainly would.
That's why she felt like she had to be with you.
I know.
What does it say?
I told her, I'm like, you want me to get rid of this, I can get rid of it.
What does it say?
I don't know. It's in Italian.
You know what it says?
She got it in Italian because her wife is Italian, remember? No.
So
you might be ordering a glass of wine. You know what it says?
It says Buca di Beppo.
Check, please.
So I go get this. It was, I think, for her birthday, and I go and get tatted up by one of the guys. Remember that show Miami Ink? I don't know if it's on TV. Yeah. One of the guys that was on that show did it for me, and I'm sitting there and I've got my hands around a chair and getting on your spine and lower back. It's like sweaty. And all. So I had them like take a picture of me getting the tattoo. And then got all wrapped up, and then I printed the picture of me getting the tattoo out, and I put it in a frame. And she—that was her gift that she opened. And she's like, she's looking at the picture, like I'm over a chair like this.
It's a strange
like,
gift for my birthday.
With the guy going like this, and she's like, "What am I looking at here?" And I go, "What do you think you're looking at?" And she's like, "I don't know."
Is he popping back knee?
Right,
I don't
like,
know what
she's
he's
like.
Doing.
I don't know. And I go, "He's tattooing me." She goes, "He's tattooing you?" And I go, "Yeah." And she goes, "Well, what did you do?" And I'm like, "Uh oh." I go, well, why don't you unwrap me and see what I did?
Oh.
No.
And we're standing in the kitchen, and she, like, takes that, like, because they put, like, all the...
The gauze and the goop.
The goopy ointment. And she takes it off, and she reads it, and she's like, wow. Wow, that's really... And I'm like...
That's
you said early in the relationship. How early? I mean, months. Was it weeks,
Let's
months?
See. This would have been...
Within the first year?
Oh, yeah. Oh, for sure.
Can you imagine within the year, the woman goes and gets a full back tattoo damn near? It's a big tramp stamp.
That's very...
For a big tramp. I mean, and it's only getting bigger.
He ain't lying.
Let me see it. Show it to the VIPs at least.
Frank.
They've never seen it. Hey, they pay for it. It's worth it.
Has it faded or is it still in all its glory?
A VIP is going to watch the webcast every single day. So if you want to see Heidi's tramp stamp, you got to go to the website. You got to pull your pants down a touch.
Oh, my God.
Pull your shirt up.
It goes hip to hip almost. It's big.
And it says...
look at the size of that.
Is that her name? Is that her name?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
See, that's very clingy, Heidi. That's
Jesus.
That's very entrapment. That's creepy.
I thought it was mi amor, or like something in Italian. I don't know.
Well,
spaghetti.
Her name is her
Chef Boyardee, but not her name.
That's a spicy meatball.
That's a very permanent thing to do for someone who's only been dating a few months, and you may not want to be together for the rest of your life.
But you owe me because
I've got your name on my...
Did you expect her to reciprocate and get your name tattooed someplace on her?
I thought that might happen, and
never.
No, not even a. We got. I'm like, maybe do like an H or something on your ring finger.
Nothing.
She said, no, I think we should do rings. And I go
rings that you can take off and maybe get rid of.
Okay, we can do rings.
So what? It says her name and then what?
Well, that's
is there something dirty?
That's it.
We got the translation program over
somebody
here.
Somebody can...
Hey, Heidi, the whole topic is the dumbest thing you ever did to impress somebody. So what it says adds to the dumbness. So it says her name.
Yeah.
That's the first thing you see is her name, and then followed by, I love you, or what?
Is the love of my life.
Oh, my God.
And this was 3 months in? 90 days?
Five
months in.
You clinging vine.
I was on a love drug. I was out of my mind. I was out of my head.
So why didn't you get like a henna tattoo to try it out? If you didn't like it, it's like gone in a week.
Head down to Venice and get that put on first.
Temporary.
Why didn't I talk to you guys?
Not all people like tramp stamps. In the lesbian world, every time when she would be back there and have to look at her own name. Because I think that might turn me off. I'm looking at my own name all the time.
Yeah.
If she's you're twisted and there's a folding over.
That's right.
Right. It would turn you off looking at your own name.
maybe not.
Imagine looking at somebody else.
She doesn't have a mirror on her back. Can you imagine? Maybe look at yourself.
I know.
Who's going to come up with that? Reflective tattoos.
Reflective tattoos.
In a way that like you look at it, it's like shiny, like you know, like foil.
Like a mirror.
Wouldn't that be
bad
for like global warming? Image? Global warming.
Wouldn't you be if you had a full body mirror tattoo? You'd be invisible.
Oh, right, because people only see themselves. What?
I don't know.
Wouldn't you? I don't know.
Maybe.
We we've all done dumb things for love.
But
and
that's as bad as it gets because it's a permanent thing.
Couldn't they
make
camouflage like that for the military where it's like all a bunch of little mirrors, but then you probably look like disco balls running around?
They
shoot
do.
The disco balls!
Believe it or not, they have that technology. It's actually cameras that are a picture of the cameras on the front of you and the back of you is a screen. So the cameras on the back of you transmit the image to the front of you. So as you're walking,
so you're like a walking flat screen TV,
right? Exactly,
showing what's
exactly.
behind you.
Exactly, they have that technology. They do that.
Wow.
Otherwise, the disco ball. It's like, wait, are we at war? Is there a huge party happening in the desert right now? Or Russia, or wherever our latest
it's
war is.
A Syrian flash mob.
We're fighting Sister Sledge, really,
and losing. All right, let's see. The dumbest thing you ever did to impress somebody. This guy in Connecticut robbed a bank to impress Taylor Swift. Don't know if she's actually impressed or not. But give us a call, 1-800-955-5567. Let's give prizes to people who did the dumbest thing to impress their crush. And let's start out with Javier. He's been on the longest. Hello, Javier.
Hi, good morning, everyone.
So what'd you do to impress a woman?
Back in high school, when I first got my car, I was leaving school, and there was a girl right there that I liked in the bus stop. And I thought it would be cool if I could burn some tire. But I didn't know there was a cop right behind me. I got a speeding ticket in front of her.
Oh, bad boy.
And guys...
Does that work, ladies? Do you like seeing us roast the tires?
No, guys, I don't... It impresses other guys, but I've never been like, whoa, look at that big patch he just laid. Woo,
I bet there's a woman out there listening to this show right now who, when a guy lights him up and gets that smoke going, that smell, that burnt tire, just laying stripe, I bet she gets moist.
I don't
know. I got
$5
on it. But there's a woman out there who gets moist for skid marks. Javier, I'm going to give you a prize, man. I'm going to give you, let's see. All right, let's go to Isaac. Isaac, what did you do that was so stupid trying to impress someone?
Well, first of all, hi, everybody. How you doing?
Hi, Isaac.
I was in high school, and you know you go on senior trips or like little outings for the senior. My girlfriend was a cheerleader, and she had broke her leg. So we were going to go up to the snow that week, and she couldn't go, and it was a bummer and all that stuff. Everybody's going. So I begged my dad to borrow his truck. So I drove up to the snow, and I sat there, and I shoveled all kinds of snow. I even got stuck in the snow in my dad's truck and everything. I came down the hill. And, you know, I brought her snow, and I thought it was great. I was a champion. And then she told me she had something to tell me, and she told me she wasn't going to go to prom with me anymore, and she went with one of my best friends.
Oh, my God.
I spent the whole day shoveling snow, and then I got back, and, she went with my friend, prom.
I think it would have turned her snow yellow right there on the spot.
Mm-hmm.
That is pretty. You'd love that, Heidi.
Oh,
you could go to the mountains and he brings down snow for you.
Moist and bringing it back. Yeah, form of this little bit of snow.
Well, Heidi, I thought about you. There in the mountains now. You want to bring me some down? You know, I'll bring you some down. No problem.
All right. I would love it. I'm not sure what we're talking about.
I think
about
Heidi would go to the prom with your ex-girlfriend. So I'm sorry. it hurt even worse. So, Isaac, let me give you a prize.
Sounds good.
Okay.
I melt with you.
Yeah, talk about the snow.
Modernity.
That just kind of worked out. Let's see. The next would be Mike. Mike, what did you do that was so stupid trying to impress your crush?
8 years old, I climbed a tree to go chase this little neighborhood girl's cat I had a crush on. And 8 feet in the air, the branch that I was standing on broke from under me. My body... lands on the ground, body lands in soft dirt, head lands on hard concrete. Cracked my skull open, actually have a Nike scar on the back of my head. Turns out it wasn't even the girl's cat. It was just the neighborhood's cat.
Oh.
After all of that, trying to impress this girl, her mom comes over, I'm so sorry, I'm so sorry. And my mom's like, he's trying to chase your daughter's cat. And her mom's like, what cat? We don't have a cat. That's the neighborhood cat that's been around.
And later on, she's like, I don't like guys with scars.
Yeah,
didn't get the girl.
Oh, well.
Didn't get the girl at all? I mean,
Avery
it's still kind of noble. You thought it was her cat and you were chasing it. No,
right.
Not at all.
Nothing. Just I got a gnarly scar on the back of my head to show for it.
1-800-955-5567 is the number. Trying to impress your crush. What's the dumbest thing you ever did? Let's go to Brennan. Hello, Brennan.
Hey, how you guys doing?
All right. What's the stupid thing you did to impress somebody?
I went out one night with my cousin, and he had a friend, and she was beautiful, and I could not stop looking at her all night. Well, it turns out that she did cocaine. I've never done cocaine in my life. So I decided, you know, I wanted to be cool, thinking, you know, hey, you know, this is something I could probably try, and she'll never even know. So I ended up, that whole night, I did cocaine. It was just nonstop all night.
Nonstop.
Well, turns out that she wasn't even into me, I guess. I just was pitching in money for extra cocaine.
Oh, Brandon.
Yeah, I know, right? And then that's not the worst part. I mean, all right, after all that had happened, I had to be at work the next morning at 8 o'clock. We stayed out until probably 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning. So then I followed my cousin back to his house. You know, he was going to have like a little after party, and then she was going to be there. So then I went there, and I hung out all night, was also pitching in extra money for cocaine. And she ended up leaving, and I stayed there by myself, and I had to be at work probably in the next 20 or 30 minutes. So being all loaded with cocaine, I had to go to work, and I had to bust out my whole work day, and I worked a whole 10-hour shift.
And he's a bus driver, you guys.
I was nonstop. I could hear everything in my head. My head was pounding. It felt like I was still at the club, and I wasn't even there. Like, it was all bad.
All right, so it didn't make the job more fun, and you're addicted to cocaine now.
You know what? I wanted to say I was for a little while.
All started with a failed effort to impress.
If you've never done cocaine before, and she was one of these girls who did you know, you didn't know how to do it. So did you just, like, shove your nose in the bag like Scarface and, hey, this is great.
At first, they got a little baggy, and then they had like a key, and then I didn't know.
Yeah, no idea how to do it.
The first time I did it, I actually like blew the whole thing off the key, so it was embarrassing. Oh,
that's when you lost her interest right there, Brenda. That's the moment she said no.
Like, that's probably when she was like, hey, you know what? I'm just going to use this guy all night to find a cocaine.
Well, here, I'm going to send you out to...
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah. Thank you, guys.
Stay on hold, and we will hook it up. 1-800-955-5567. I can't imagine Eric doesn't have a story about something stupid that you've done.
Yeah, he's probably trying to narrow it down.
Oh, yeah. I've done
so much. You've done so many stupid things. I mean, as far as, like, writing songs, serenading.
That's not stupid.
No.
But, I mean, as far as, like, watching the movies, I'm sure you probably stood outside a girl's window holding a jam box in the air because you saw Say Anything once.
You know what? In the line of watching movies, yes, I didn't sit outside her window, but it was Sarah. Sarah and I had a school project, and at the end of the school project, it was about relationships. You had to take care of an egg, you know, so, which represented a baby. You had to go through all these steps to symbolize life. One of the steps at the end was to propose marriage. And so all the guys would get up there, and you know, high school guys, they get up and go, Tiffany, will you marry me? Yes, I will. And then that was everybody.
Then they had to sit down.
Yes.
Okay.
But over the course of this project, I fell in love with Sarah. Oh, I love Sarah. And so what I did, because I had to go the extra step, I had to let Sarah know that I legitimately liked her. This is real for me. So I went and I got a ring pop. You know, the suckers that go on your ring. So I got that, and then I got a box for it. And it opened just like a ring box. And then when it was my turn to go up, I sang. Do you guys remember this song?
This is Color Me Bad?
Yeah, All for Love. Oh, that was my favorite song.
Saw him in concert.
Lucky.
I know, right?
So this is in front of the class. You get up and you hit play and you start singing this?
Oh, wouldn't that be great? No, I didn't have a boombox at the time.
Oh,
okay, what happened?
I just had my beautiful angelic voice and this
acapella.
Box. Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, no.
So I just get up there and go, I want to hold. And I did dance moves and everything.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah. I want to hold your hand. And then at the end, I go, Sarah, will you marry me? And then I got down on one knee and I opened the box and she said no. She failed the project.
Oh, come on.
Because she was so embarrassed. I was so heartbroken.
But she threw the egg against the wall. Instant abortion.
She honestly said no.
What'd you do with the ring?
And the teacher sucked it.
Who ate the sucker?
Sucked it.
While crying in the corner.
Was this the end of your last chance to be popular in school? Was that the moment that forever branded you as that guy?
I don't think
he
ever had a chance.
That's a rough one to come back from. Yeah.
There's so many stories about where he's ruined his chances.
I love that you're conveniently leaving off the fact that you wrote a girl a song and went to a recording studio and recorded it. I love that that's not being mentioned. I'm looking at you.
Oh, my song? Why? Tell me why.
Oh, God, I forgot
at 16,
that.
Oh, yeah, I totally did that. But we don't have time to hear that.
KLOS Traffic. It's Frosty, Heidi, and Frank.
Yeah, yeah.
On the Rock of Southern California, 95.5 KLOS.
I've got tickets to see Shinedown, KLOS, and Whiplash presenting Shinedown at the Five Point Amphitheater July 21st, furnished by Live Nation. One pair right now to caller 20, 800-955-KLOS. Today's 5K band of the day is the Rolling Stones. Listen for them in the 9, 11, 1, 2, 3, and 5 o'clock hours. Your shot at $5,000 coming up tomorrow. The Frosty, Heidi, and Frank Mike Thompson RV right now is at See's Candies on La Cienega Boulevard, south of Jefferson. The address is 3431 South La Cienega Boulevard. The first 10 listeners that show up starting at 8 a.m. will each win a pair of tickets to see Rick Springfield perform with a full symphony orchestra at the Saban Theater. That's on Saturday, March 30th. But hurry, he's only going to be there until 8:15. News of the day being brought to you by Stater Brothers. Paul Manafort is in more trouble than he already was. A federal judge has ruled that Trump's former campaign manager intentionally lied to Robert Mueller's office after he agreed to cooperate with its investigation. What does that mean? Well, it means the plea deal that Manafort made with prosecutors isn't a thing anymore, and he could face life in prison. Of course, there's a chance all this actually means nothing because President Trump has not ruled out a pardon for Paul Manafort. Today's Valentine's Day, and although I think it's a little on the nose to get engaged or married on Valentine's Day, a lot of people don't, including celebrities. Is it a good idea? Well, let's see who did it and how it turned out. Harrison Ford and Calista Flockhart did it, and they are still together. That's a little bit of a surprise to me. Another success, Benedict Cumberbatch and his wife, director Sophie Hunter. Selma Hayek and her billionaire husband did it, and they are still together. And Vince Vaughn and his wife got married on Valentine's Day, and they are still together. As for fails, Elton John and the woman he married back in 1984, they didn't make it. Lady Gaga and Taylor Kinney got engaged on Valentine's Day, didn't make it to the altar. Dennis Quaid and Meg Ryan married on Valentine's Day, but famously split up after she had an affair with Russell Crowe. And Adriana Lima saved herself for marriage, but it didn't save her Valentine's Day marriage. She and Marco Jarek separated after 5 years of marriage and divorced 2 years later. Last week, Foo Fighters announced the postponement of two shows in New Orleans due to an unspecified band member injury. Well, now it looks like the mystery has been solved. Dave Grohl spoke at the Pollster Live conference Tuesday, and when he got on stage, he was wearing his arm in a sling. You can see the footage from the conference on the At Foo Fighters stream Instagram. Grohl's been pretty injury prone over the last few years. Back in 2015, you guys remember, he broke his leg after falling off the stage during a Foo Fighters show in Sweden. He's also fallen off the stage several times after that. The postponed New Orleans shows were originally scheduled for February 15th and 16th. They're now scheduled for May 15th and 16th. And The Hollywood Reporter has supposedly confirmed that Breaking Bad's sequel will star Aaron Paul. It will focus on his character, Jesse Pinkman. They also say that Netflix has acquired the first-run rights, so it will premiere on Netflix, and then it will be aired on AMC. No word, though, yet as to when it will debut or whether Bryan Cranston might be a part of that. It's 7:54. That's news of the day brought to you by Stater Brothers. Stater Brothers Supermarkets. Have your groceries delivered from Stater Brothers in as little as an hour. Order online at staterbrothers.com with Instacart. Quality and convenience delivered. And that is news of the day.
Live from the Morongo Casino Studios, it's Frosty, Heidi, and Frank on 95.5 KLOS and KLOS HD1.
Did you know the words idiot, imbecile, and moron are all related to a certain point on the IQ scale?
Yeah, I knew that. Yeah, that's why people have problems with the word. Well, it is an actual, legitimate, physical brain condition. It's describing an actual person.
So if someone does fall in a certain IQ range, and they are an idiot.
You can call them an idiot.
You can?
You should be able to.
Or is that still not PC?
Eh, sadly, it's not. But they are what they are. You are an idiot.
If you are an idiot, you have an IQ under 20.
Wow. Oh, God, that's like a turnip.
Like a, yeah, I think this cup of coffee has an IQ like 25.
I swear. Oh, my 20. God. Sure, don't have dogs? Don't dogs and porpoises and horses have like about a 15 or 20?
I don't know. Under 20, you're an idiot. Between 21 and 50, you're an imbecile. And between 51 and 70, you're a moron.
Okay.
The books, medical books for IQ.
So there's more morons than idiots.
Let's hope.
Probably. Function. Yeah. 50 to 70.
I mean, you
we can only
walk around the planet, you know?
Yeah, so be careful. Get the baby gate if you got the infant walker, or let the infant walker just stay on the downstairs. Then you don't take it upstairs where there's a staircase because you had 9,000 infants are injured every year by that infant walker. 74% of those going down the stairs.
Oh,
come on.
You guys are lucky. You don't have the stress of having a child and an infant walker upstairs and you're wondering if they're going to live or not. Remember when I had my son, I was way overly protective. Every situation, I saw the worst possible thing happening.
Sure.
And so it just stressed me out. And it says here that parents spend about 37 hours a week stressing out over their kids. And breaks down about 5 hours and 18 minutes a day. Just like worrying about usually their health.
But like, you're only 5 hours a day. You're awake how many? 14?
Yeah.
No, 5 hours.
But I think once you're a parent, it's just you never truly rest again. Because you're just constantly worried. I know I would be. I'd be a mess. Like, the Lord knew what he was doing.
That's why they say staying home with kids is harder than going to work. Because just you have to be. At work, you can F off. But if you have kids, you can't F off. You got to be watching them all the time, making sure they don't kill themselves. Because they're your responsibility. No matter what they do, it was their fault for being dumb. It's your fault. Not being there and seeing them being dumb and stopping it.
Makes sense. I worry about my dog when he's in the backyard. Is a crow going to come pick him up and fly off with him?
Your dog is a
Samoyed.
Well, whatever.
Nothing's picking up your dog in the yard. Coyotes won't even bother
you. I had a giant owl on the tree with a 5-foot wingspan. Anyway.
Yeah.
How did our parents survive them? Because in the older days.
They didn't give a damn. It was a much better time. I think we had way more freedoms in the era where we grew up, as kids do now. They're way overprotected. You've heard of helicopter parenting, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's been a huge thing in the past decade, but for a lot of parents today, hovering over the kids to protect them isn't good enough. There's a new term that's gone beyond helicopter.
What could possibly be beyond that?
It's more extreme than helicopter parenting. It's lawnmower parenting. Is that? According to a teacher who wrote an essay about it, she says, lawnmower parents go to whatever length necessary to prevent their child from having to face adversity, struggle, or failure. Why lawnmower? Because they mow down any person or obstacle that might keep their kid from having the most charmed and convenient life possible. Example.
Mm-mm.
The teacher's top example was a parent who left work to come to high school to drop off bottled water for their kid. He said he asked his daughter if they have water fountains, and she said, yeah, but she really wanted to drink bottled water instead. So he left work.
God, no, that's no scenario where that would have ever happened in my childhood.
Mine neither.
No.
No, because you're that kid. You're fine.
We wouldn't even have bottled water.
No.
Like, who do you think you are?
My dad
Diamond
goes,
Lil?
My dad would say, I'm pretty sure I just paid a water bill. I sent that in. We should. Well, is it still coming out of that tap? We have water.
Water fountains used to be cool. What happened? I did see recently a lot of
wait, water fountains used to be cool?
Well, yeah.
I don't know if they were ever cool.
They were when I was.
I never considered them unusable. I was like, but they never were. I never was like, hey, man, we'll go hang out at the water fountain.
Well, I'm old enough to remember we didn't used to have water fountains. We had a pump out back and a bucket and a ladle. And then we got the refrigerated fountain. It's like, it comes up in the dark and it's cold. How do they do this?
It's magic.
I read recently where, and this is absolutely true, a lot of young people who are out of college or in their early 20s or whatever are going for the job interviews, and the parents insist on going along.
Oh, man.
They're going along. They want to go along the job interview and pretty much control the interview. Because they're worried the kid, you're not going to give my kid the raise, or excuse me, the salary they deserve, the position they deserve.
We're screwed going forward. Because everybody's a big baby. It's like nobody's prepared.
Yeah, the things that I'm, I guess, a child of the 80s. As far as the freedoms, I was 10 years old in 1980. So, from 10 to 20, a child of the 80s. And the things that we got to experience that 80s kids did that could get us arrested today. as far as parents, you could never do this stuff with your kids. But our parents did. But we get our parents arrested today. Like riding in the bed of a pickup truck.
One of my favorite things ever.
Done
it. Fantastic memories.
Done it many times. Very scary and dangerous.
Sit on that wheel well and you're like, whoa.
I remember like the little league team, you know, we'd win the championship. We'd all pile in the back of like one of the dad's trucks and ride to the pizza place.
That's right.
And we all be like, you know, standing up and whoo, and
celebrating.
No one cared.
That was fun to do that.
Loved it.
I remember Dad had an old farm pickup where there was actually a space between the cab and the back. You could look down. There was like,
right. You can see the road. See the road,
right, yeah.
And all the dirt coming up in your face. He turns a corner, you almost fall out.
Memories that are going to be etched in my soul forever. But these kids today never experience it. Actually, I've let my kids experience it.
Back of the tundra.
Back of the tundra, I'm like, lay down and just look up. So they can't enjoy it because they can't really get the breeze and they can't look around and wave at people. No, I have to make them lay down and not pop their heads up.
Right.
Because we'll be seen and get arrested. But I'm like, this is the closest you're getting to having this moment.
Not the same. Corners aren't the same, are they?
No.
You probably them strapped in, too, right, with safety straps.
Tethered.
Another thing the 80s kids did that would get our parents arrested today, being left alone in the car.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, for hours.
I know. Your mom would go and go shopping. She's like, just stay here. You sit here.
Yeah. Yeah. Radio's on.
I hate to say it because it sounds really terrible because I know it's 2018, but in the day, this happened a lot. Dad, if it was a dad, he'd stop at a bar to drink for a couple hours while I waited in the car. Then he'd drive us home.
I had to drive my dad home one night.
Oh, did you?
How old were you?
12. Yep.
That's why they taught us to drive early.
You didn't know that's why, but that is why. My dad would be like, now you're just going to get up down the end of the alley here, make a left. Now you go. There you go. Make another right.
You had that story for us about kids that tried to steal a car, but it ended up being a stick shift. And so nobody knew how to drive it. I mean, 10 years old, I was driving 3 on the tree. I was like,
adorable.
Yeah, hell yeah. Awesome.
You were prepared. Oh, smoking in the car, but you can't do it. I think that's illegal.
Oh, yeah.
Smoking in the car with your kids?
I mean, we left Indiana, and my mom and dad both smoked cigarettes, and we went all the way to Daytona Beach, Florida, spilling smoke. I'm in the back seat.
Oh, you're going to get cancer just from that.
A window.
Somebody would have called 911 if they would have saw Heidi in the back of a car and parents smoking
filled
in the front
with
seat.
Smoke.
Oh, yeah.
I think it is illegal.
Hell, I remember in a small town, everybody knows everybody, and I grew up in a town of 5,000 people, so we only had, 25 liquor stores. because everybody knew everybody, your mom or dad didn't have to get off the couch to go get beer and cigarettes. You can go down there, 11 years old. They just give you money. It's like, hey, dad wants a case of Budweiser and some Marlboro Reds, and you're like, all right. Tell Frank I said hello. I'm like, all right.
Yep.
And I'd carry beer and cigarettes home. You didn't have because they knew that you're taking back home mom and dad. You get arrested the day for that.
Same thing. Yep, I did the same thing.
And we survived. Society didn't fall apart.
Kelly, we turned out kids. You can be like us when you grow up.
Mm.
So now kids left in the car while you're doing something. Again, you'd call the cops, right? You saw some kid in the car all
you'd
by themselves. You'd
probably break a window.
Yeah.
Right.
Kid's 12 years old in the car. Someone's breaking the window to get him out.
And he's like, I'm fine. I'm like playing on my iPhone and the AC's on. Relax.
But just being left at home alone.
Yeah.
That happened all the time when I was growing up. There was no babysitter. They just go. They just
what is
leave.
The age now? Because, I mean, I left my son home. Like, oh, my God, do you think he could stay home by himself? I'm like, I think he's old enough to babysit other kids home by themselves. So what do you mean I can't leave him home by himself?
I babysat when I was 12.
That's
but I can think if I had a 12-year-old kid, I wouldn't just go away for that.
I remember being left at home when I was, like, 8.
Yeah, me too. Oh, yeah.
Well, I was given the freedom at 8. I mean, like I said, my 8th birthday, at Christmas, I got a 3-wheeler, 110 Honda ATV. They don't even make those things anymore because it's so dangerous.
So I mean, 8 years old. People,
I mean, I just had the freedom to hop on it and just go ride creek beds and go to my buddy's house and just
helmet.
Be home. No, well, yeah, we had helmets, but we hit them.
Yeah, of course.
But yeah, it was great times. Helmets, another thing. Like helmets on bikes. We never rode a helmet on a bicycle. Skateboard helmets, knee pads, elbow pads.
You'd be teased if you did that.
Hey, roller skating back in the day. We just put our roller skates on and went cruising the neighborhood. It wasn't like, don't forget your wrist guards and your knee pads. Okay.
Yeah, but helmet. Looking back, would you much rather have grown up when we did or be in this new generation with all the new things that
I'm happy how it was.
I am too, but I'll bet every generation thinks theirs is the best. That's true. Really ours was.
Yeah.
You know, we turned out all right. We had more fun, I think, than kids do today.
If you want to add to this list, you can give us a call, 1-800-955-5567. What made it so great about being a kid of the 70s or 80s as opposed to being a kid of now?
It also forced you to be clever. We had to, like, make up games to play because we were, bored. It wasn't like, iPad and Fortnite and this and that. It was like, all right, we're going to put a can on the porch. We're all going to hide. I mean, you just come up with these games to figure out to play with the neighborhood kids. I mean, just
it
make stuff up.
It makes you more creative later in life, I think, because you think stuff up and make your own fun as opposed to something's pre-programmed for you.
Smear the Queer. Can't you play that now.
Well, you rename it.
Mm-hmm. Well, you got to play Smear the LGBTQ. T-T-T-Q-Q-I-I-A.
Yeah.
But it could still be just as fun.
By the way, I remember going back to being left alone. I remember one time we lived about a block away from a little restaurant. My hometown, about the size of Frank's as well, only had pretty much two restaurants. And we lived down the block from one. My parents knew the owner. And my mom and dad were going to go out for the evening, going to go see a movie. It was Dick Clark's restaurant. Well, we lived at the end of the block.
Dick Clark's had great tenderloins.
Yeah, we lived on Oak Street down there by Dick. Anyway, I remember hearing my mom pick up the phone and call Dick down there, Dick Clark's. And I heard her say
maybe
these
that's
words.
What your dad used to hear. You call him Dick all the time. And he's like, listen now, be careful.
And your tenderloins.
It's double breaded, man. I remember hearing her talk to the owner of the restaurant a block away. Yeah, this is Rosie. Yeah, me and Don are going to go down. We're going to be gone for the night. So could you keep an eye? Could you look down here now and then? If you see a fire, could you call the fire department? Because my kids are here.
Wow.
Okay.
And then she would just tell you to stay away from the, don't get anything on.
Go to bed.
Seat belts. They were there, but they were totally optional, and you never wore them. I mean, usually you were, they didn't really suck back into their recoil that well, usually in the old car, so you were always stuffing them between the seats because you didn't wear it.
Yeah.
You had to shove between the seats, and then...
There was no shoulder belt, just the lap belt.
Right.
And little sister Dean would fall asleep in the back seat. We'd hand her up front, and she'd just sleep on mom's lap. I mean, just...
Oh, yeah.
Never had
you didn't have to worry about an airbag going off and crushing little Dina because they didn't exist.
But the cars were stronger back then as far as like tank on tank. Boom!
They had no airbags.
They didn't crush in on themselves.
No airbags. Mm-hmm. They depend on steel to protect you. You know, there was a conscious effort amongst the people who made TV shows and movies. I think this is probably late 70s, mid to early 80s, where they insisted on people buckling up when they got in on scenes. Because look at the older movies like Bullet with Eastwood and Steve McQueen.
Right,
they didn't buckle up. So all these movie and TV producers said, let's have everyone get in the car and do their seat belt. And that happened, I think, in the 80s.
Yeah.
Before we wrap up the show, if you want to add to this list, did your parents do something or allow you to do something that you could never get away with today with your kids? 1-800-955-KLOS. And what made, growing up in the 70s, 80s, so great that these kids growing up today will never experience. Let's go to Nicole. Hello, Nicole.
Hi.
What was so great about being a kid back then?
You know, being able to play out in the street with people rather than, you know, maybe playing Fortnite in a, computer hall or something.
Right.
Pretty good. No, like, interaction. Like, there's no interaction now.
I think kids used to know the neighbor kids. Now they don't know the neighbor kids. They know plenty of people online, but do they know who's three doors down? Probably not.
Is there, I mean, like, as far as, like, the Stranger Things, the kids hanging out, but it's a throwback into an era where we were, that's where when kids hung out.
Yep.
Stand By Me, even thrown back even further, but kids hung out. So it's like you could even make those movies now because kids don't even understand what it's like to hang out.
Right.
It'd be kids talking into their headsets and, you know, going to find the dead body in the tracks, but it's actually a video game.
Wow.
Yeah, my boyfriend's little sister, that's how she interacts with everybody, is just through the computer now.
But that's how they hang out. It's like they don't need to go to each other's house. And you might think, my kid, does he have any friends? I mean, nobody's ever over here.
Some of them are making money now.
But his room is filled with people because they're all in a room, but they're just not over at our house. But they're all in the room together.
It's not the same. They're missing
I know it's not the same, but for them, it is.
So they probably think we're weird for actually. Right. Are we strange to kids today because
we did
hang out in packs in the street and played ball on road bikes and explored the woods? Is that weird to them?
Nicole, let me
give you a prize. Stay on hold. We'll hook it up for you. Mark's got a suggestion. Hey, Mark, add to this list about what was so great about being a kid years ago.
Well, you used to be able to sit on your parents' lap and drive the car.
Oh, the steer.
Yeah, while
so
your dad
so
drank
so
a beer.
Yeah, right. Or smoked or whatever.
And there are no seatbelts being used in that situation at all.
That was great.
You used to be able to throw your kid in the back seat and not worry about him.
Great times, man.
Yeah, it was quicker when you went shopping. You didn't have to get kids out of child seats. And you just open the door and out they go. You had five seconds, everyone's out.
I mean, to grow up, and now we're all parents, but yet we were raised a different way. How self-loathing are we that we're overprotective? When we weren't overprotective.
How did that happen?
I don't understand. How did that happen? Yeah.
I don't get that either. They gotta go through a little crap.
But Nervous Nelly started making us all wear helmets.
So human race changed.
$700 strollers.
Yes. What kind of crap?
Our stroller came from the landfill. Stroller and cribs people have thrown away covered with crap
in a
landfill.
My mom used a red wagon. Rusty. Whatever. Yeah, no blankets. No pillows.
There's a picture that my wife just posted of her father who passed away. Like I said, R.I.P. Joe. Hell of a guy. I told stories about Joe on the air before, but lobster claws. And I mean, fun guy. And I'll miss him. But she was looking for pictures. She posted a picture of her getting pulled in a red wagon. She's got like just a diaper on. She's like that small. Getting pulled in a red wagon. Her dad is out there cutting the grass, and he has the red wagon tied to his belt loop. So he's pulling her around while he's cutting the grass. I mean, there's blades out there. Get to pick up a rock in the yard, go back and kill her. But I was like, that's the coolest. Yeah. And he's wearing like this wicker, like fedora thing going on out there, cutting grass. I'm like, how badass is that? Big old lamb chops.
God almighty. And I'm guessing there's no thing protecting. You know, the mowers now have this big thing hanging down so the grass doesn't hit you in the feet.
Yeah, back then they didn't have a bagger.
No, it blew on your feet.
Just blew on your
rocks.
Feet.
Rocks. Rocks. Felt so really good.
Mark, going to give you a prize.
Thank you very much.
Damn, how you heard that. So Mike's got my suggestion. So great about living it up in the old days. Hello, Mike.
Hi, guys.
Hi, Mike.
Well, I actually have two things. Number one is drinking from the hose outside on a hot summer day.
Oh, that was so great. Now it's like there's warning labels on the
hose. But what happened to hose water in that time? Is it bad now?
I don't know. Kids are afraid to drink out of it, or the bombs are petrified. I don't know.
Yeah, there's warning labels on the hose itself. Do not drink out of this hose. Really? We did for centuries.
Did anybody die from hose water?
No. Probably one little baby somewhere in Des Moines. Now no one can drink from it.
Yeah, you give those people Flint hose water, they'll drink it.
And the other is...
Another thing was playing outside till the streetlights came on.
Right.
Well,
that's right.
You've got to be
home,
go
home when it gets dark. You got to be home. My God.
Well, yeah, or you couldn't see the ball anymore. We were playing football on the streets. The ball hits in the head. Time to go inside.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you couldn't see the ball anymore. First one took it to the face.
We gotta go home.
Yeah, whoever got marshed, time to go home.
Oh, my nose.
All right, Mike, let me give you a prize. There you go. All right, let's see next. Jesse wants to add to this list of what's so great about the old days and what you can't do as a parent now or you'd be arrested. Hey, Jesse.
Jesse.
Yeah, I'm here.
Well, why don't you talk then, buddy?
No. Yeah, the biggest thing was for me during that time was almost the lack of being able to get a hold of yourself or a hold of your friends. So if you were out and about, you can only call them on the phone. There was no cell phones. There was no other way of texting or anything of the sort, which was actually quite liberating.
Yeah, I agree with Jesse. I think that the ability to have a get-together and not have it be crashed by everybody in town because it went on social media and you're having a party at your parents' house, that you could have some great parties.
But the select few.
You could limit, right.
Yeah.
And you wouldn't have the a-holes show up, and then all of a sudden the cops get called, and it ends up being a big mayhem.
Right.
Because, they're too connected.
Mm.
Sometimes you got to be able to get lost with your friends.
I love that. And parents now, though, they probably know where the kids are at all times. When we grew up, your mom and dad didn't
know. Find My iPhone. You've got all these different apps where you can know exactly where you're
going. But when you grew up, you could play all day Saturday from morning till night, and your parents had no idea where you were, and they didn't care.
And then you would stop at one of your buddy's house to call your mom to tell her you were going to spend the night. But then she'd say, okay, but then you'd end up going doing something else. And it's like, okay, you're going to spend the night, sure. And you never spend the night. Drew also saying being out for hours all day with friends. Eddie is reminiscing about the good old days and what was so great about growing up in the 70s and 80s. Hey, Eddie.
Hey.
What was so great about it?
Well, one, I got two. One, you could talk to women and they wouldn't treat you as a stalker. Mm. And two, my dad used to send me to go buy beer for him.
Yeah.
Yeah, that one was mentioned. That is
way underage, but yeah. Mm. For people, because I think that we didn't have the connectivity again, so you were starving for communication. So when you met somebody and they came up and talked to you, they weren't a creepy stalker, get away from me, because you've already been communicating and texting and posting all day long. It's like,
I want to be left alone.
I'm talked out.
Right.
Get away from me, creepo. Uh-huh. But it's like, oh my God, someone's talking to me. I'm going to talk back.
Right. They're not up to something. By the way, Frank, you see line 8?
Jeremy?
Can we take that one, please?
Hello, Jeremy.
Hey, morning, guys. How's it going?
Pretty good. What was so great about being a kid of the 80s?
So anytime it would rain, my mom would pick me and all the neighborhood kids up from school, and we would just put the seat back, the seat down, and she would just drive through the neighborhood just like, you know, whipping the car around and just tossing us all over the place. And we would get kind of banged up and stuff, but, you know, no one ever got really hurt. But, you know, nowadays, if you did that, you would get locked up.
No, yeah, don't do that now. And the act of...
The joyride, thanks, yeah.
I don't think a lot of people now enjoy driving as much as we used to cruise around.
Right.
With the windows down, the music up, right. The wind in your hair, and you meet, see, you pass your friends,
you
honk, you stop, and you talk. You cruise around a car. A lot of people now don't even get the driver's license. They're not into driving and cruising.
They're Uber places.
Some of the greatest memories of me growing up, just cruising around my hometown on Friday night, rock and roll, blaring from the speakers.
But I remember that. I remember that on the station wagon, and we'd be in that far back seat facing the other direction and have our seatbelts off, and we wouldn't know what was happening. He'd be swerving around.
And he'd giggle, you'd be like, off the sides. Laughing.
It was the best, Jeremy. I'm with you on that. I'm going to send you out the handhold. We'll hook you up with that. And Robert, he'll be the last caller here, adding to the list of what was so great about being a kid of the 80s, Robert.
Oh, man. Hi, guys.
Hi, Robert.
How about competitive sports, being competitive out there and trying to win?
Right.
Yeah.
And not just playing.
It gave you a feeling of accomplishment and pride at a very young age, and then you chase that as an adult because you know what it felt like when you were 7 and you won the Little League Championship and you hop in the back of the pickup truck and you all rode down to the pizza place while your parents got drunk on pitchers of beer.
And you were, and you were allowed to say, ha, we won, number one.
Yeah,
you know,
suck it.
Right, you were allowed to say suck it.
And if you were a loser like me and my friends, it taught you how to deal with defeat, which you could use later in life when you're in a radio show with Heidi and Frank.
Right, exactly. Robert, gotta give you a prize too, brother. Stay on hold, man. Well, stay on hold anyway. Give them away to a friend. I don't give a damn what to do with them.
Yeah. The 80s when they actually kept scores.
That's how we treated people in the 80s. You'll take away. You'll take what you get. You'll like it.
Talk about parents. I don't give a damn what you do with it.
Yeah. You don't want it. We gift it.
Don't like it. Shut up.
Yeah.
I think you said shut up more back then. You say shut up now, you get a lawsuit served on you. Oh, you hurt my feelings. You told me shut up. Oh, shut up.
KLOS Traffic.
Back now to Frosty, Heidi, and Frank on the Rock of Southern California.
95.5 KLOS.
Have you ever had an ongoing feud with someone? Maybe you're in an ongoing feud with somebody. Maybe not necessarily a neighbor. Maybe it's a coworker. Maybe it was a classmate back in the day. You know, your arch nemesis. What started the feud to begin with, and who were you feuding with, and how out of control did it get? I mean, like the Hatfields and McCoys and that kind of thing.
The drug over generations.
Yes. Yeah, so I've got prizes for your calls and bonus points if the cops showed up as a result of your feud. 1-800-955-5567 is the number. Got Joe on line one. Hello, Joe.
Hey, how's it going, guys? First time, long time.
All right, who are you in a feud with?
I'm actually having a feud with, it ended about a year ago, but it was with our next-door neighbor. We both have pools in our backyard. We have an avocado tree on our side. They have an orange tree. We came to the agreement, hey, whatever's leaning on your yard, you're more than welcome to keep it. One day, I guess he got tired of all the avocados falling on his yard, and one night, you know, came back from work, and almost our whole pool, well, half side of our pool was full with avocados. And, you know, the pool's a good distance away from the avocado tree, and I'm like, no, like, this, he had to be thrown in there. And sure enough, you know, went over to his yard. I'm like, hey, did you by any chance throw the avocados? He's like, I sure did. He goes, I'm tired of making that damn guacamole. And I'm like, okay. Oh, God. And, and so my retaliation, we were having a bonfire party, like it was probably like a week later, and you know, we're like, oh, you know what, F this, let's just start cutting down his oranges on our side. And like, we literally feel like a good, I mean, we wiped that tree clean with all the oranges. We took them down and we just kept chucking them over in his pool. So, and then he came over and he knocked on my door the next morning. He's like, hey, did you throw all them oranges? I'm like, I sure did. Got tired of making all that damn orange juice.
Oh, Joe. And then you guys lived happily ever after? Did you move?
No, he ended up moving probably within a month later.
All right, let me give you a prize.
I'm not sure that is the same as the Hatfield and McCoy shoe, but it's close.
The avocado and orange shoe. Mm-hmm. All right, Jason's next. Jason, tell us about who you're feuding with.
Oh, I was feuding with, this ended about a couple years ago, but I was feuding with my neighbor's dad ever since I was growing up, a little kid. We'd go play outside, skateboard or whatever, and we'd go inside, and he'd fill up a glass of water and drink it, and I'd go to get my cup, and his dad would literally stand in front of me and say, "Why can't you get your own water from home?" Things like that. Just growing up, and like he would sit, put a chair at the dinner table, and I'd sit down, and they'd all eat, and I'd sit there and watch as a kid, and it would suck. Because my mom always taught me to share. So when I was older, I became a teenager. My form of retaliation was just to pee-pee their house, throw little pranks. I egged his car one time, just getting back at him. And he knew it was me. It was blatantly obvious. I never tried to cover it. He even got cameras. And I lived three doors down. And it's funny that you say if the cops got involved or whatever, because one time he did call the cops, and they blew it off. They were laughing at it because I pee-peed their house so horribly. And I don't know. He just he called the cops, but it ended a couple years ago. We didn't really shake hands or anything. It just ended because I moved. But he was really rude to me.
You
when
know,
I was
figure if he's so cheap that he wouldn't even let you have a glass of water out of his tap at his house, he'd have appreciated the free toilet paper. All right, Jason, I'm going to give you tickets to something.
You're the best.
You always have two sides of the story. I mean, Jason, maybe say this for poor Jason. Maybe Jason was an obnoxious little...
But could you imagine having a
give him
kid?
A glass of water?
Well, maybe he was a snot-nosed little...
He's there
brat.
At dinner time and you're all eating and you don't even go...
Even
do
if
you
hated the kid, you'd, if he's staying over for dinner because he's a friend of your son's, you'd go ahead and feed him.
Of course.
All right, Jason, stay on hold. We'll hook you up. Let's see. Mario's next. Hey, Mario.
Hey, what's going on?
Who are you feuding with?
My neighbor, dude. This guy, dude, it's just annoying. He's like, you know, whatever. I call him a paisa. They show up at home around 2 o'clock. I don't know what job he has where he can go in, like, at 8, show up at 2 and start drinking. And from that time...
Is Frosty your neighbor?
I was gonna say, is he working radio? That sounds right.
For real. And, dude, and it's like just, they just start with their, like...
Yeah, but you're not saying anything. Sound. You're saying a lot of obnoxious sounds. Is that what you said?
Obnoxious sounds, nasty music. They, by the time they're drunk, it just, you just hear, you know, and it's all in Spanish, but it's like, son of a, you know, whatever.
Oh, nasty,
you know,
music.
And this. Okay. And it's just funneled into my apartment. You know, my roommate has two little kids, you know, and it's just annoying because it's 7 days a week, bro. And on Saturdays and Sundays, it starts at 10 in the morning.
Mario, you know, let me ask you a question. Do you like to party?
I don't, you know, it's...
Learn to party, dude. Go over to, I mean, I'd love to have neighbors that partied 7 days a week and
bro,
it was out there.
I just turned 40. I don't, you know, and then they play, you know, they play some you know, every time they're drunk, their go-to music is reggaeton and...
Yeah, if you're 40, you shouldn't have a roommate with kids. You probably should have your own place by now, Mario. Maybe it's because you don't party enough.
Well, see, because I party too much. And see, that's what happened to me.
No, I don't believe it. Sorry, Mario. I'm not giving you anything.
Oh, I was with Mario on his side. Totally has my sympathy.
He's a horrible storyteller. That's why you like him.
He had a nice time.
And he's 40 years old, giving up on life and being that old crotchety neighbor. Like, you threw down your reggaeton. Well, he's almost racist. He's almost racist. Because his Mexican neighbors like to party every single day because they're such happy people.
There's only so much reggaeton you can take.
Right, old reggaeton, not that new stuff.
But there comes a point where you grow out of being a frat boy and suddenly you're a middle-aged guy, you're settling down, and now someone right next door to you is still stuck in the 20-year-old
vibe. You're not settling down if you have a roommate that has kids. And those kids, I mean, come on. You're 40 years old.
Okay, but
get
annoying,
your own place.
Annoying music at party next door all the time. Yeah, that would make me mad too.
Let's see. Zamir is on the front. Hello, Zamir.
Hi, guys.
Hi, Zamir.
All right, who are you feuding with?
I was feuding with my girlfriend's manager next door. And ironically, his name was Mario too. So he was just like partying a lot and stuff, but he was bothering everybody at the apartment complex. Like, he was flirting with girls, and he was claiming that we had to pay more rent. I didn't even live with my girlfriend at the time. And so one night I go to his door, I knock on it. I was pretty drunk. And I tell him, you know, we're not putting up with your crap anymore. Like, just stop. And so
he felt threatened, I guess, because I was drunk and it was like 9 p.m. But the cops got called and I ended up going to jail that night.
For what? For public intox or what? I mean, what's the charge there?
Well, the cops came because they heard us being noisy and like I was, I guess, a bit too drunk and, you know, kind of obstructing the investigation.
Threatening.
And so, I wasn't threatening, but I ended up getting booked for resisting arrest and vandalizing a cop car because I was trying to kick my way out.
Oh, okay. Samir.
Really going for the extra credit there.
Yeah, I'm still going through all the legal stuff. Like, I got, like, 13 days of community labor, 26 anger management sessions, and 30 AA sessions.
26.
Jesus. Well, I'm going to send you. Stand home. These cops showed up.
Yeah.
Try to kick your way out of a cop car. Then come on, you've never seen cops.
Then you get vandalizing a police vehicle. Oh, God.
Mm. Christina. All right, girl feuds. Hello, Christina.
Hi. Well, my friend since second grade, when we were in high school and started dating people, there was somebody that I dated pretty regularly. And then every time we would get in an argument, then she would show up at his house and try and get with him. And basically, I just went one day when she was at work and I caught her car on fire.
How did you do that? What did you do?
I actually got away with it, too, because they couldn't tell who it was. She had newspaper in her car, and so I just took my lighter and lit it on fire, and it caught the whole car on fire. It was an old car Magia.
Oh.
And so her car burned to the ground.
Yeah, it did. It was totaled.
And you never, ever admitted that. To this day, all these years later, she has no idea.
No, she knows. We're actually still friends because she knows.
Oh, well, there's a friend for life.
Bitches be crazy. So,
yeah, I go and visit, like, I just visited her last month. And so, but... Yeah, we did a lot of really bad stuff to each other, but that was the worst.
Do you laugh about this now? Just laugh and laugh.
Yeah. Oh, even her children are like, is that true about the car? And then I'm like, yeah, I'm so embarrassed of it, but yeah, I did.
All right, let me give you a prize then. I'm going to give you tickets to...
Thanks, Frank.
All right, stay on hold, Christina. We'll hook you up. 1-800-955-KLOS is the number.
KLOS traffic.
44-year-old woman, as we mentioned pizza earlier, in Connecticut. She's facing charges for assaulting her husband with several pieces of Domino's pizza.
Assaulting. Well, because maybe when they're fresh and hot, and he's trying to burn him, like just flinging them at him?
With the hot cheese? No, I think she just took the pizza and just threw it at him.
Oh.
But I mean, you've had people throw things at you before, right? What's the strangest thing you've been assaulted with, Heidi?
Oh, we're gonna go back to my childhood days. And I was held down and forced to eat toenail clippings. I had loogies, I held down and loogies.
That's not so strange, though. A loogie or a toenail. I mean,
think if that would happen to you as a grown man. You're
upset somebody so much that whatever they had in their hand, they're just tossed it at you. Yeah. I've had keys thrown at me before, but that's not that strange.
Didn't you have a VCR or something thrown at you? Or like I know obviously we're going way back, but
I think I did.
It's weird when people will
she
break
grabbed the VCR off the top of the television set and threw it at me.
It is weird when people will mess up their own stuff. You're like, you realize you just threw your own crap at me. Like, you missed, you broke it, and you're an idiot.
Anybody else have something strange thrown at them they were assaulted with?
When I was a kid, my brother and I used to get in physical altercations all the time. But it's never gotten worse than the time he took the original Nintendo controller. You remember those? They're just a rectangle with hard corners. It's not the round controllers that they have now. Hard corners. And he spun it around like a lasso and bashed me in the head with it. Split my head wide open. I had to go to the hospital because of a Nintendo controller.
Mmm.
Oh, and then I hit him with a telephone after that.
Right.
Well, rotary phone. It was he had no idea what it was. Anybody else been hit or assaulted with something that's not of the norm? Oh, yeah, Anthony's walking to the microphone.
Of course they have.
I had a friend whose neighbor was kind of on the spectrum. And we were...
What? Okay.
I always love stories that start like that.
we were playing in the cul-de-sac, and he—I don't know—he just got mad at us for some reason, just started swinging a scooter at us, and then we kind of got the parents and told them, like, you know, take him, push him to the side of it, and I was like, help us out. And then he comes back, no more than like 5 minutes later, starts throwing dirt clods at us. So we just went back inside. And I was scared though. It was, you ever had a scooter hit your ankle? It's horrible.
Sounds horrifying. Anybody else want to mosey up to the mic after that? Strangest things you've been assaulted with. Oh, Ashley's calling in to help out. Hello, Ashley.
Hi.
So what were you assaulted with?
My boyfriend's a pool guy, and he was taking all of his equipment out of the back of his truck, and he called me a bitch and jabbed me with his pool pole.
What, the net end or the handle end?
No, the pole end.
Oh, damn.
The pole end. Where'd he hit you with it?
Like, in my side as I was walking by him.
Was it like a quick jab, like he's holding it with both hands and kind of goes off to the side like, bitch? Or was
yeah,
it like,
exactly.
Yeah, but did he jousted you
yeah,
with
right,
it?
Right.
Or did he hit
me.
Wow, nice.
Jeez.
How'd you react to that?
Well, that was his reaction to me putting his motorcycle out next to the mailbox with a free sign on it.
Oh.
I would have impaled you on that thing. You're lucky.
How long have you guys been married now?
We're engaged. We've been together about 5 years.
You're engaged? My God, Sammy. Hey, listen to that. She found someone to give her a ring. She wanted to give us a motorcycle away. He still got down on one knee.
She is not having it. How are you doing that? Don't poke the bear with a bull stick.
Thank you so much, Ashley.
Jeez, Ashley.
All right, let's do it. We've got a pair of tickets to see Beck with Cage the Elephant and Spoon at Five Point Amphitheater July 17th. Now, tickets go on sale tomorrow at 10 a.m. furnished by Live Nation, but we've got a pair right now for Caller 20 at 800-955-KLOS, and good luck. Today's 5K Band of the Day is Rolling Stones. Listen for them in the 9, 11, 1, 2, 3, and 5 o'clock hours for a shot at $5,000 coming up tomorrow. KLOS is presenting Heart with Joan Jett and the Blackhearts. That's Monday, September 9th at the Hollywood Bowl. And the pre-sale starts this morning at 10 a.m. 10 a.m. this morning. Your password is KLOS. And now it's time for News of the Day. I'm Lisa May. News of the Day brought to you by Wawa Nisa. A former U.S. Air Force officer is being charged with espionage. Monica Witt was an Air Force special agent and counterintelligence expert, and the Department of Justice is accusing her of defecting to Iran in 2013 and revealing highly classified U.S. intelligence to the government in Tehran. The government has issued an arrest warrant for Witt, who remains at large. Officials believe she is still in Iran. It's Valentine's Day. It is also the one-year anniversary of the shooting at Marjory Stoneman High School in Parkland, Florida. 17 students and staff members were killed. 17 other people were injured. A series of events to remember the dead have been scheduled today, but students have been told that if they don't want to participate, they can stay home today and tomorrow with their families. Meanwhile, on Wednesday, the governor of Florida said he wants a grand jury to investigate possible wrongdoing on the part of the Broward County schools for failing to institute safety measures that might have saved lives. There are a lot of stories of actors turning down roles that turned out to be huge breakout roles for the actor that ended up doing the part. Will Smith, for instance. He turned down the role of Neo in The Matrix. That one ended up going famously to Keanu Reeves. Why did he turn it down? Well, here he is explaining.
The Wachowskis, they came in and it was like they had only done one movie. They did a movie, I think it was called Bound. And they came in and they made a pitch for The Matrix.
And as it turns out, they're geniuses. But there's a fine line in a pitch meeting between genius and what I experienced in the meeting.
So this is the actual pitch that they made for The Matrix.
So dude, we're thinking like imagine you're in a fight and then you like jump. Imagine if you could stop jumping in the middle of the jump.
Sam, say that again.
And then we're gonna invent these cameras. And then people can see the whole jump while you stop in the middle of the jump.
So I made Wild Wild West.
Oh, well. The Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences released a statement Wednesday to clarify their controversial decision to award four of this year's Oscars during commercial breaks. There was a lot of backlash about that. They said that they were doing it to get that show under 3 hours. So here's what their statement says. All 24 award categories are presented on stage in the Dolby Theater and will be included in the broadcast. Four categories, cinematography, film editing, makeup and hairstyling, and live action short, they were volunteered by their branches to have their nominees and winners announced by presenters and included later in the broadcast. Time spent walking to the stage and off, that will be edited out. Okay, so that's the deal. News of the day brought to you by Wawa Nisa. Good drivers save big with Wawa Nisa. Now, if you bundle your home and auto insurance, you can save up to 25%. For a free quote, call 877-WAWANESA or visit WawaNisa.com. It's 8:55. That's News of the Day. I'm Lisa May.
Live from the Morongo Casino Studios, it's Frosty, Heidi, and Frank on 95.5 KLOS and KLOS HD1.
Well, it's Heidi and Frank's show. When you first start dating somebody that you are interested in, that gives you butterflies, you definitely put your best foot forward and you want to be the least amount of gross as possible so you don't deter their love or maybe their feelings from you, okay? Certain things that when you're in a relationship, like, say, passing gas openly while in the room, how long does it take into love before you're like, okay, maybe I can pass gas now? I think I've earned the love beyond this. But they're not going to dump me for a little toot-toot. For men and women, it's different.
Maybe when you're old and you're like, you're ancient old people and gas comes out all the time and you can't stop it. That may be the only time I think it's acceptable. Otherwise.
No, you're wrong.
Oh. Like the women on the show, I'm starting with them. Do you want to keep up that illusion of classes?
They're lying, Frosty. I'm telling you that right now. They're trying to keep up the illusion that they're hot on the show for the audience. They're just like, no, ladies, I know you're lying. And this survey, then they asked thousands and thousands of people in the privacy of their own survey. Have you ever farted? How long did it take you to fart? Well, okay, I was about this far into the relationship, and it wasn't until I was 90 and couldn't hold it anymore.
It has to be a very, very small percentage of people who would do that. I think it's the rednecks who don't care.
There's a difference between I laughed while we were watching a show and oop, or just like feeling it and just going while you're sitting on the couch. There's a difference. Like I forced one out. I pushed. Pushing or just laughing
and
then
necessarily
laughing.
Have to push.
Well, but
you can feel the urge and allow. That doesn't mean I'm over there going.
No, but as opposed to,
I wish I could fart on her face right now. No, right. I'm not pushing a fart out. It's no. Like farts happen.
They do happen, but here's the thing. Early on, let's say the first 6 months, I'll use 6 months.
Oh, there you go, 6 months.
The first 6 months, you could have the. I mean, it's there. It is like
then you understand.
You are clenching while you're watching a show. You are so clenched, like oh god, please pass, and then hopefully it just goes.
No, you get that internal fart, and then you claim you're hungry. Inside, you all muffled, like, somebody's hungry, even though you just ate dinner. Yeah, somebody internal farted.
So I should always keep something in paper nearby. You can rattle it and shuffle your shoes around it.
And then you don't want to get up because you're watching the show. You don't want to ask them to pause it. And, you know this might turn into something else. Might be a while. Oh, they know what I'm doing in there. So yes, passing gas openly. While the other person is in the room with you, it's the same actually for both men and women, and that is 9 months into the relationship.
Really?
Not even your
think
you've
earned the love beyond a toot.
Here's what I find a little confusing, and you guys know a lot more about dating and love than I do.
Really?
What? No.
But that doesn't seem like you've got the respect continuing beyond 9 months. In other words, I know you can stop most passings of gas. You can stop them or delay them. At 9 months, you'd no longer stop or delay them. You just let it go?
Yeah.
That seems like you're way too comfortable or way too...
Confident. I'm confident that
I've earned the love.
It's rude. We
said
I love
you. It's rude.
It's rude on the first date. 9 months in, I've had so many experiences with you that you love me beyond a fart. That's what I'm saying. Okay. 9 months, I feel confident enough.
You should write greeting cards. I love you.
I love you beyond a five. Our 9 month anniversary.
Hallmark's got nothing on you.
That's what it means.
I know. Yeah.
Thank you.
Right.
Here's what I can't understand. Because once I've done that.
Dating?
That. Oh. Once I start dating.
Women.
Once I start passing gas, you will always see me. Heidi will always see me as the guy who passes gas. See
you look like a guy who does. You might as well just start from the beginning and do it.
But once you do it, don't you want to be seen in your best light, not your worst light?
That's the whole thing. That's how I started the whole topic. Was like, yeah, when you first start dating somebody, yes, of course, you don't have anything in the bank as deposited into their investment in you.
Right.
Meaning they can dump you that day and really not miss you because they don't know you yet. 9 months in, they know you. You think that they know you enough and love you enough, and you've earned enough points in your love bank that you could fart once. It'll take a couple points out of your love bank, but you're not going to overdraw it, is what I'm saying.
Right,
you understand
you've got enough
now?
Deposits in there, yeah, that you could write a fart check.
You can write a fart check and it won't bounce.
It'll clear.
Ooh. Fart check bounce.
Oh, man, who just wrote
if a fart check bounces, is that a shart?
Yeah, because you're like, oh, no.
Oh, no.
I thought I could.
Fart check can't cash. Anyway.
Oh, dear.
Other things on this list of when you first start dating and you're trying to be the perfect person and totally not gross. Kiss the other person when you have morning breath. Well, obviously, you're sleeping over.
I'm not a big fan of that.
No. I mean, in the beginning, though, when you first start sleeping over and you woke up before the other person, you get up and you go to the bathroom, you brush your teeth, and you lay back down and then act like you just woke up with fresh breath because they want to, my God, this person's amazing. They wake up and their breath is so fresh. They don't have stank breath like I do. I better go brush my teeth. Then you come back to bed and you make out with your new fresh breath. But, I mean, yeah, waking up in the morning and rolling over and doing.
No, tongue kiss, nah.
You don't do that at all?
No.
Uh-uh. Ever.
No, breath.
I've never really done that.
Breath
either.
And
I'm
smells
not much of a
are very
anyway.
Important to me, and I don't really have morning breath bad. But
I don't believe actually people do this. This is a surprise to me.
It's
I know
movies.
the farting in the room is fine, but as far as kissing the other person with morning breath, I think that is just rude. I mean, I know you have bad breath too, and I got bad breath right now, and maybe that cancels each other out. But
no, it doesn't cancel.
I mean, in the idea of why anyone would even attempt.
It's funny because when you watch
somebody.
A movie and you're like, they spent the night together, like they're in that hotel room and they've been drinking and banging all night, and they fall asleep, and in the morning you see the room and it's like alcohol. And they didn't brush their teeth. They didn't get up. Yeah, brush their teeth before they So you know they got like wine and booze breath, and then sleeping, and then morning breath on top of it. And then they roll over and start making out. I'm like, that's what takes me out of a.
It's not really.
Makes me realize I'm watching a movie. I'm like, that no one does that.
Yeah, and there's no crunchy goo in their eyes. And
that's
you know,
right up
nothing.
There with you've just seen every inch of my body naked, and then I get up in the morning and I put the sheet above my breath. Oh, hi, why?
Doesn't the bad point. Breath morning kiss? That Heidi doesn't do, and I like more and more about Heidi, the more I hear of Heidi.
Yeah.
The fact you don't do that. Isn't that a good thing? Because if I kiss you with bad breath, it means you don't deserve a morning kiss that's fresh. You don't deserve fresh breath. You get this foul-ass crap, because that's what you deserve.
I think it means I can't wait.
I need it now.
No, it's a lack of respect. Since you, this is the best you get. This is what you deserve.
I'm kissing you to show you I don't respect you?
It's a foul mouth kiss, and you know it's a foul mouth kiss. So I would never say to you, you deserve a foul mouth kiss.
How about I have sex with you and I kick you out?
Oh.
That's all you deserve.
Oh, dear.
What's
like
that?
Let you sleep over and go, you know what? I'm going to show her. I'm going to wrap my this pasty tongue all over you, bitch. I don't respect you at all.
It's like
that. That doesn't make any freaking
sense.
No,
it's just like, if you get to use the bathroom, do you shut the door? Yes. Why? Because she doesn't
That's
deserve...
on the list. Don't jump ahead.
Oh, sorry.
All right, next.
Yes, the old kissing, though, the kissing the other person when you have morning breath. Men start doing it at the five-month mark. So they're more willing to kiss you with their stank mouth. Than to fart in the same room.
I'd rather you fart
in the same room.
Yeah,
than
go, let it
stank
rip.
Mouth.
Don't try to kiss me.
For women, it's 8 months. They'll roll over and start laying sticky tongue on you.
Mm.
Now, as far as never doing that, I don't do that. You don't do that.
They
say 10% say they've never kissed their partner with morning breath. So honestly, raise your hands if you kissed your partner with morning breath. Jordan. Oh!
Jordan.
It seems like you would have, like, the worst morning breath of all. Yeah?
Yeah.
And she does the same thing? I mean, her morning breath, your morning breath, it just doesn't matter? What's going on there?
I mean, it doesn't happen all the time, but you asked if I ever, and yeah, I have. I mean, well, she married me. It can't be that bad.
That's true.
Did you, because she started kissing you and you didn't want to stop the kiss? And you're like, okay, I guess I'll go ahead and go through with
it. Yeah, that was some early on, just wake up and, hey, touching and then leading on to something else.
Oh. That's why laying on your sides facing the same way having sex works. So we're both breathing our bad breath in the same direction, right. Even though it's kind of going over your shoulder into your face.
Well, just do it. Breathe it into my hair. It's a nice filtration system.
Breathe it into my hair.
I'll get up and take a shower after.
I think I'd like separate bedrooms if I have a house big enough to have separate, because that way we can both emerge, showered, fresh breath, no stinking, no passing of gas, no foul odors from the mouth. Yeah, we'll be at our best, because that's what you deserve. I respect and love you so much, I don't want to blow stink in your direction or crap into your mouth.
Oh.
Even if you wanted to do that, suggest that we need to sleep in separate bedrooms, it doesn't matter if you're brushing your teeth or not farting. That will be the question itself, going, I can't believe he doesn't want to sleep with me. What the hell?
Because so there's bonding. Even if you're not touching, you're still in the same bed, there is a bond that happens. That you need, I think, in
because
marriage.
We sleep together.
Yeah, I mean, there's just something to that. It's we're going to our room and it's our bed, and you're not snuggling up together each night, but you're still
okay. How about
next
a third,
to each other?
Three
your
bedrooms. One is the sex bedroom. Then we go back to our own bedrooms to sleep. How about that? Meet you in the sex bedroom at 9. Is that all right, sweetie? Bring the skull.
I'll be fresh as
look
a daisy.
At Christian Grey over here. All right. when you start to ruin the illusion that you are a not gross person, you start being honest about your finances. When do you start being honest about your finances? You lie in the beginning.
I guess if you're talking about moving in together or getting married, you have to start to be honest. Because if you're like, we're moving in, like, well, what kind of place can we afford to get? Well, we could, like, maybe like $2,200 a month.
Well,
like,
maybe,
well, then you got to start going, well, how much?
That discussion happens with lesbians a lot earlier because you move in the same day you go out on a date.
Right.
So you have to discuss if you afford the rent together. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I was dating a woman once, and I had more money than her, and so I had the ability to do things that she couldn't normally do. So she faked it, and
ooh,
was like,
trying
oh.
to keep up.
Yeah, trying to keep up. I was like, hey, honey, we're going on vacation. I'm like, really? Yeah, it's on me. We're going on a cruise. I'm like, really? You got us a cruise? Oh. That sounds awesome. I've never really been on one. And it was one of those cruises that is just like... like, I am the captain now. It kind of looked like that. It was
oh,
like,
not a big
it's like
ocean
rusty
liner.
And nasty, and it was a trailer park on the water.
Oh, no.
And they, at the end, you end up in the Bahamas. They tried to sell you a timeshare.
Oh,
I think the cruise was free.
Got it.
To get you to the Bahamas,
oh,
try to sell you a timeshare.
Oh, it's
a and then she's, okay. And then, you know, once she realized what she bought into or didn't buy into for free, she cried and apologized and said that she was just trying to keep up. She felt like, you know, I spend, you know, and had the ability to do things that she couldn't do, and she was just trying to keep up.
That's very nice. Music up, roll credits. That's very nice.
That was about, they say, honest about finance, about 8 months in for both when you start being honest about your finances and what you can do.
Well, I guess it makes sense, because, look, I want to protect myself. I don't want to get involved with you, and you've hidden from me the fact that you're deeply in debt, and your credit is
as
rotten.
As soon as you get married.
When we get married, I inherit that. That becomes right. my bad credit and my debt. So you need to get that out in the open before you get too serious, right?
I still think that's kept a secret by most people. I think it's about how much you make your current gig.
Yeah, the salary isn't nearly as important to me as if you've got a debt load and bad credit and you're, you know what I'm saying? Because that becomes my debt load if we become a
well,
couple.
I know, but that's why I think that's kept back.
It's a deal breaker.
I think
what it honesty's
is. Honesty's going, oh, yeah, I make this much an hour. And so they can kind of figure out how much you make. That's as honest as you go. They don't know that you spent twice as much than you make, and now you're totally doubly in debt.
So you got $40,000 in charge cards, and you didn't tell me about that?
Maybe you could kind of casually do that by going with them if they're going to go lease a car or something. And then they have to be like, okay, so we've got your credit
score
report here. Mm. And then you're like, yeah.
If we're dating and I'm going into the finance office at the Toyota dealership, I'm not having my date sit there with me as I fill out the paperwork. I'm like, go have free coffee.
What if you're like, like 9 months and you're like, let's go. We've been talking about I'm going to get this car. I don't know. Maybe that would be a way.
Isn't there a lounge area?
Yeah.
At most like, SoCal Toyota dealership. That's very nice, by the way.
Yeah, no, there is. So you have her sit there so she doesn't know. But I'm just trying to think of a way that you could kind of.
Do the credit score thing. I
sometimes I just go there to hang out.
This company, you get your free credit score. Let's get our credit scores. What do you say?
Let's see who's as higher.
Yeah, if yours comes back like a breathalyzer reading, then this probably. Something you can tell me?
Yeah, that's a problem.
A 0.08?
We're breaking up. That would be a deal breaker.
Mm-hmm. I want my girl in the 0.800s. I want her to be a complete alcoholic.
That's comatose, I think.
Be okay with crying in front of the other person. How long before you let the tears flow?
I think you do that when you're dating.
That's immediately.
Well, yeah, you are. This whole thing's about dating.
I know.
Yeah.
So how long into dating are you going to allow your tears to flow in front of her? First, she thinks you're just a big crybaby.
Could be the first date.
First date, crybaby.
Well, if we're going to see a movie, there's a very touching, emotional scene. We go to see Titanic or something, and I start weeping.
When Jack is handcuffed to that pole, and you think he's not going to be able to get his hands free.
They're so cold. Whatever. But
yeah,
because I would like to believe.
I really wish he'd never made it to the boat.
Don't most women like a sensitive man? Or a man who is masculine yet is not afraid to show a sensitive side?
I think when you use the word weeping, that's you've taken a level past
masculine. But I remember my first boyfriend, Joe, we watched the movie Glory together.
Glory.
And I looked over and at some point in the movie, and it was dark, but the glimmer from the TV like caught his eye. And I just see him welled up, like not weeping, but just welled up. And I was like, oh, my God. And I fell in love with him in that moment. I was like, wow. Because he was like a big Italian guy, like a tough guy.
Maybe he's just allergic to your cat.
But I was like, oh, my God.
Glory's one of my top three crying films of all time. It's a good test to see. I think
so I guess it maybe depends on why you're crying. Like, if she's with you and you go through a family trauma and you're like, oh, man, it's my dad or whatever. Then she's going to feel so much more connected to you. It depends on why you're crying. If you stub your toe and you're like, she's like, okay, I'm never having sex with him again. What the hell? What a puss.
But people are holding back on the tears. Really? It's just okay to cry in front of the other person. It's 11 months for men, and then 5 months for women.
Sorry, you get a first date from me.
Yeah, you're getting it pretty
sorry.
Quick with me, too.
If there's a reason. Not because of a bee sting, but because if there's a legitimate, emotional something or other.
Yeah, my first wife, I remember the first time she cried is when we were dating, and everything was going great. I mean, perfect relationship, you know, in love, skipping everywhere. It's one night. She gets up out of bed and she goes and locks herself in the bathroom and I hear her crying. And I go to the door and I'm like, hey, honey, what's wrong? She's like, I didn't want to have a three-way. And the other girl's still laying in bed. We're like, and I go, why are you making this awkward for me out here with this other girl?
Thanks.
I mean, why'd you just say that?
Yeah.
And now you're in the bathroom crying with the door locked. Now I got to tell us, I mean, I'm like, do I got to drive you home?
How do you resolve that one?
That is.
I mean, think about me for once.
Yeah. That was before Uber. So
Jesus Christ.
Wow. And then you start crying.
No, I never did. I was just like, we'll ruin it. Mm. All right, anyway.
That is awkward.
Let's see. being honest with them about their flaws instead of pretending everything they do is fine.
That's going to take a little longer, I think, because that's a tough one, right?
When the first time that...
I mean, it probably
the way
took
they
me,
chew their food.
I've been with my wife, it'll be 14 years or something, 14 years. But it wasn't until maybe last year where
I was... Well, recognized about 3 months.
But she reads out loud. Like when she's read, like if she's at home working and she's on her computer and she'll be like, all right, today the frosty hamburger. And I'll be like, what? And she's like,
why she's stalking our website?
I'm just reading what's in front of me because I have no improv skills. And plus, I just wanted to remind you of Mike Thompson RV. You'll see that. But she would do that and it would drive me crazy because she would. And what? No, nothing. I'm working. I'm like, oh my God.
So do you recall the very first time that you said, hey, hey, hey?
Last year?
So 13 years of putting up with it.
I couldn't take it anymore. I was like, stop.
So you went from no mention at all to, stop it.
Yes.
Well, 13 years of buildup of
I couldn't take it.
Out loud reading.
I go, do you do that at work, too? Because if you've got people nearby, it's like, I'm
naked Sue, hostile work environment.
I mean,
just you're reading out loud.
See, that would be annoying. But if I'm her, I'm going, I've always done this. You're just now telling me?
You know, I always think people who read out loud can't read. But they're trying to prove it to everybody that they can. You can't read.
Maybe it's a really bad stutter and they're stuck in the first letter.
Can she read? Let's give her a test. All right,
some
you better test her.
Fake it.
She's like, honey, I think I need LASIK. Could you read this for me?
Now, of all these flashes of our past together where she's like, oh, I don't have my glasses. Can you? No. She just pretended that she couldn't see because she didn't have her glasses.
There's a lot of people who are illiterate who pretend and have gone through life and people have no idea they can't read.
I don't see how you can, but they do.
You know what?
I don't get
it. Be illiterate and be a genius like that is awesome.
Talk about fake it till you make it. Just be like, like with something that I have no idea what it says and they're like, yeah, it looks good to me.
How do you sign your name? Not that anyone signs a name anymore.
That's the only thing they mastered. And really, signing your name and what's your signature look like?
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Slop.
Right.
Okay. There you go. Loop-de-loop curly Q. Mm. Is that your name? Loop-de-loop curly Q?
It is.
No, it's Frank.
I don't know why I got a mortgage I can't afford to pay.
They say being honest with the other person about their flaws instead of just pretending everything's okay and that you just find everything they do loving. 8 months for men, 1 year for a woman. I think that's strange. I think women probably point out your flaws way before a guy points out the woman's
flaws.
Yeah,
it seems flawed. It does. Seems like it happened earlier.
Yeah, I think we allow flaws to last a lot longer before we start pointing them out. You see him the day you meet us and go, I can fix that.
Like, I try not to say anything because it's rude. Like, if she does I can't stand when people leave things wet. Like, you're doing dishes and it looks like a log ride went through the kitchen.
You married the right woman.
All right, let's do it. I have a pair of two-day weekend passes to the third annual KLOS Sabroso Craft Beer Taco and Music Festival. It's going to be at Doheny State Beach Saturday and Sunday, April 6th and April 7th. Be caller 20 right now to win 800-955-KLOS. That's caller 20 right now. Tickets are furnished by SGE. Good luck.
Sports on tap. On the Rock of Southern California, 95.5 KLOS.
Last night on the ice in Anaheim, Ducks wearing some sweet throwbacks circa the early 90s. Snap a 7-game losing streak, edging the Canucks 1-0 thanks to Jakob Silfverberg.
Puck trickles to Silfverberg on the right side. A wrist shot and he scores!
Hoops at Staples. Clippers burned the Suns 134-107. Sweet Lou with 30-10. And on the college hardwood in the Bay Area, Bruins win, beating the Bears. SC loses to Stanford, leaving both the Trojans and the Bruins at 6-6 in the Pac-12 and 13-12 overall. I'm Pete Fox at Sports on Tap on the Rock of Southern California, 95.5 KLOS.